Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
NWCR Radio has been on the air since 2006 and with Conservative Nation Media since 2013. Now, NWCR continues as the owner of CNM with the news that the lamestream lying liberal media chooses not to tell you because the truth has nothing to do with the agenda that they are all pushing. We will tell the truth no matter what the liberal left has to say about it or what the truth is. Being banned off of YouTube for telling the truth with my updates and off of Facebook several times, we have our badges of honor that we keep pushing the envelope for on our show. My co-host, Lucid Libertarian Lorianne, and I, along with my band of callers, have great shows with great information for America on each episode. We are NWCR Radio, Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Loving folks out there, you are tuned in to the Lucis Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. Happy Easter, or rather, since Joe Biden has canceled Easter this year, happy Transgender Visibility Day. Woohoo! And by the way, all of you little kids that might be submitting your artwork to the White House for their Easter artwork contest, be warned that your submission will be tossed into the garbage if it has any religious symbols on it. So do not portray anything related to Christianity, to Easter, to Jesus' resurrection, no crosses, no depictions of Jesus. You can't include any of that stuff, or to the shredder it will go. So make sure, parents out there, that you let your kids know that so that they're not disappointed. So, you know, that's the priority, not the, you know, the religious holiday that Christians celebrate of Jesus' resurrection. that is now on the back burner because it is more important for us to all see transgender. It's a celebration of transgenderism today. So, you know, happy Transgender Visibility Day. So just blasphemy is the first word that comes to mind. But, hey, I shouldn't say that, right? Well, thankfully, since I knew I was going to be talking about this, in my show here on Blog Talk, I have the RSS feed set up on Spreaker. And on Spreaker, so it gets my show recording when it's done, and it will automatically generate a YouTube video, you know, just with the Spreaker background. It's just the audio, but it automatically generates it and posts it to YouTube. And so I already have one strike against me. I had a warning and I had a strike. And so before this show, because I knew that I would be talking about Easter, and that's so taboo, I went into my Spreaker settings and I turned off that automatic sending my show off to YouTube because I had a feeling that, you know, just playing that song that I played, which, by the way, is called Freedom by Jesus Culture. That is a Christian band, Jesus Culture, called Freedom. I love the lyrics to the song. I love how upbeat it is. And so I thought this would be a really good song to play for Easter. But, of course, YouTube might not like it. And so I turned off the automatic feed to YouTube. So hopefully my whole channel doesn't get shut down. And anyway, so here we are. Happy Easter. Happy, you know, Transgender Visibility Day. Oh, good Lord. We got Bringin' It Boy E in the house. We got Donnie. We got Gunslinger. We got Joe Gibson. We got the Alaskan Boyd. We got Mike all in the chat room. We got Boyd and Mike raising their hand in the switchboard. Gunslinger's kicking back. Gunslinger was the first one on the scene. And Donnie says, hello, Children of the Corn. Now, there's a movie I haven't watched for a while. I never did read the book, though. I always just watched the movies. But anyway, those were creepy. Let's see. Thank you, Robert and Suzette, Bring the Boy E, for the birthday wishes. It was a good birthday that I had yesterday. I turned 51, woohoo! And I spent my birthday with my Blog Talk Radio friends on Donnie's show last night, Beyond the Mainstream. So everybody was wishing me happy birthday, and some of y'all sent me a PayPal gift of some birthday money, which I definitely appreciate. I am so thankful and grateful for the friends that help contribute. Everybody knows that money is not something that is growing on a tree outside of my yard right now. So I really appreciate all of your guys' help there. Lots of stuff to discuss, lots of stuff that's gone on in this past week. There is a new, J.P. Sears just put out a video yesterday on my birthday. Woohoo! And I don't usually start out my show with a clip this soon into the show, but I figure, you know, while people are funneling their way in, making their way on the switchboard, which, by the way, I keep forgetting to update my show intros to reflect my new call-in number. So I need to make it a point to edit those and put it and then use my new call-in number. So BTR issued me a different call-in number to help with troubleshooting some of the issues that people are having with calling in and things on the guest line. And so my number changed a few weeks ago to 563-999-3485. So if you're out there and you're trying to call the old number and not getting through, that's why, because I just gone and redone my show intros to include the new number. So 563-999-3485. Call in. You can hang out and listen. Or If you want to have me bring you on, I will gladly do so. Just press 1 and raise your hand on the switchboard. That lets me know that you would like to. So, yes, I did have a good birthday. I had an awesome spicy Cajun seafood dinner from this place called Bagel Crab. And it literally comes in like a thick, like, you know, plastic bag, all warm and everything, and all steamed up with all kinds of, you know, Cajun spices and butter and stuff. It was really, really good. And the combo that I got was supposed to come with 1 pound of Dungeness crab plus, you know, so that's basically like, you know, Dungeness crab legs, like one of the, you know, cut off like half of it or whatever. That's basically usually about a pound, about, you know, with just the crab legs. So that's what I ordered. And it comes also with a pound of shrimp and sausage, potatoes, corn, stuff like that. Well, I put in the notes that, and when I ordered it, that it was my birthday and I was going to have some Dungeness crab, right? So I get it. And they upgraded me. That place is so awesome. They upgraded me and gave me a whole Dungeness crab and a really good sized one, too. So while I was on Donnie's show last night, it took me over 2 hours to get through that crab. It was a really good size, like pick up the whole plate size, a full Dungeness crab. It was super, super good. That's the one thing. You got to work for it. The meat is so good. It's Dungeness crab, if you've never had it, it's not as salty, number one. The meat is generally pretty sweet. It tends to be a smaller crab than like snow crab and definitely smaller than king crab. But I love Dungeness crab. The meat is so sweet, especially my favorite meat is in the body of the crab, not just the legs. But the body of the crab has a lot of flavor. But you got to work for it. That's the trick. I was tackling that thing last night on Donnie's show for over 2 hours. But I've got so full from it. So I definitely have leftovers for tonight to heat up, which will be really good. I got the shrimp and everything else. So I thought it was just pretty awesome that place upgraded me to a whole Dungeness crab instead of just a thing of legs. That was pretty nice of them to do for me. So, yes, it was good. A good birthday. So at some point I'll reheat some of my birthday meal for tonight for my Easter dinner. My dinner to celebrate Transgender Visibility Day. Anyway, and it looks like we got a couple other people. It looks like Montana Joe is kicking back listening. Haven't seen you show up for a while, so hopefully you're doing good. Whenever you want to talk, to raise your hand on the switchboard there, Montana Joe. Be happy to say hi to you. If you do raise your hand, I might just hold off on playing the J.P. Sears clip, because I know you don't usually like to hang around for clips. I guess I could get into some of the news before I play that J.P. Sears clip. Let's see. Donnie says he's wearing his favorite dress tonight. What? Boyd in the chat room says crab is the most appropriate eating on Tranny Day. You guys are crazy. You're crazy. All right, looks like we got Montana Joe raising his hand. And I know Mike and Boyd, you are as well, but I'm going to bring on Montana Joe first because it's been a while since we've had him show up. What are you up to, my friend? Good to see you.
Hey. Thanks. You convinced me to call in before you play the clip. So I thought I'd call in before you started playing, however long it would be, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 25. So you had a birthday, huh? All right, well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Yes, turned 51 yesterday. And, yeah,
all
the
right.
J.T. Sears clip is about 11 minutes long, by the way. So, yeah, and I saw you show up, and I'm like, oh, I better not play it or I'll hang up.
yeah, you know me. Yeah, clips and me don't get along. They got to be a couple of minutes, no longer than 6 or 7 minutes, like when I told Donnie a few years ago, Donnie, don't play any clips longer than 7 minutes. You know, but that's my own personal opinion. I think people's attention span are a little bit too short, but that's just me. So hello to Donnie, too. You know what? Donnie, I bet you look kind of shitty in a dress, but that's all right. This is Transgender Day. Everybody looks good, right, Donnie?
Of course. We're all beautiful. Put on your nicest dress.
That's right.
Get that makeup on. Curl your hair. If you have any left, that's okay. If you don't.
yeah.
Everybody's beautiful. You're beautiful.
Just as long
my
as Donnie
goodness.
Doesn't say, Joe, I remember when I was thinking of you in chaps, because that would be appropriate for Transgender Day. I don't know. You weren't around at that time, Laurie Ann, when he and I would joke around on the show, and he said that one night a few years ago. So I thought I'd remind him of it on Transgender Day.
Donnie in the chat room says, go get F, Joe. Just kidding. I don't think
go
he really
fucked.
Is that.
See? We have a Mr. B.
That's hilarious. And you did a show. I got a surprise notification the other day. I think it was Tuesday, was it? Or Wednesday? Or Thursday?
Nah,
what day was
it
that you and Suzette got together and did a relationship show?
Yeah, we had a relationship show on Thursday. So what'd you do for your birthday other than crab?
I hung out on the show with Donnie on his show, hanging out with Troop. That was about it. I had good food.
Yeah.
And then after the show finally wrapped up, I rented a movie. I'd been saving, you know how Amazon Prime has like the no rush shipping rewards and, you know,
yeah.
So you can get, you know, digital credit. So
I would
saved
imagine,
that
yeah.
For my birthday so that I could rent a movie. And so I rented ISS. I was feeling like it's been a while since there's been a good space movie out there. So I rented ISS last night after Donnie's show for my birthday movie. I'm a sucker for space kind of movies. So that's about it.
No, all right. Well, you know, it's better to have birthday alone than to have it with people that once you get home, you say, you know, it wasn't all that. Because I remember from one time, New Year's, I was in New York, and this was many years ago, and I went down to Times Square to see the ball drop, and it was filled with people. But it didn't have that kind of magic as you would imagine it to be. And I went there by myself, right? So when I got home, I said it was a waste of time, you know, to be at some place like that because it was surreal. It looked like it was a set. The whole entire city around that particular area was crowded with people, right? So it looked like a movie set. And to me, I wish I would have had somebody with me, but, you know, I was there for a particular reason. And it would have been nice for New Year's, welcoming it in with the ball dropping with somebody, but I didn't. So, but when I got home, it was better for me to have gotten home than to be around a bunch of people who were, a lot of whom were drunk, stuff like that. So, you know, people who are alone at times, don't worry about it. Sometimes it's better to be alone.
I'm used to it. You know, I mean, I'm 51 now. My days of, like, going out and partying it up are long gone. And I've become accustomed to just hanging out. you know, being at home, being comfortable, I can drink as much as I want, I can eat whatever I want, I don't have to deal with anybody else, and I could just, you know, be at peace. But I wasn't really alone. Like I said, you know, I got my Blog Talk friends here, Donnie G Show, you know, everybody showed up, Pianki, everybody was on, and so I wasn't really alone. You know, I was spent, how many hours were we on, Donnie, last night? I don't think we hung up until it was like, 11:30 or something my time, maybe even closer to midnight my time. So we were all up pretty late, so I didn't feel alone at all.
Donnie goes for hours and hours. I remember when starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time, which is the time that Black Talk Radio always starts, and we would get off the phone at 1:30, sometimes 2:30 in the morning Eastern time. So that's 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 5 hours sometimes we would spend on the phone. So I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was good. It was good. And then finally had to hang up because everybody was getting tired and everybody wanted to have some energy to come onto my show. I'm going to go ahead. We got Boyd, Mike, and Joe Gibson. Joe Gibson wanted to call in because he has some updates on his situation. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Joe Gibson on in. And then also Mike and Boyd, I'm unmuting you. Joe Gibson, hey, how's it going?
Everybody knows my case, obviously. I got the DUI case that I'm still fighting. So I go to court tomorrow, April Fool's Day, you know. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. Yeah, so, you know, last time they said, you know, there'll be no more continuances. That's it, you know. So who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. They could take me, kidnap me, who knows, you know. They're certainly not a fair court. And they break the rules, obviously. I mean, one time when I went in there back in 2021, they tried to kill me. So, you know, they had me handcuffed to a grate in the floor, you know, for 17 days after I posted my bond. So, you never know. So these are the times that, you know, this is what I have to go through. But, you know, and plus, you know, like I said, this is March 31st, 2005 is when, my second murder attempt on my life happened. So it's not exactly a pleasant day to remember. So, see what happens. I mean, I got a motion to dismiss typed up. I think I'm going to fire the attorney that I paid $2,500 to because he's done nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing. He's done nothing. He came to court last time with no file in his hand, nothing. He didn't have the police report in his hand. So that guy right there, I feel like choking him out, you know. Right? I mean, so I'm just – it's just the criminals. They're criminals' lawyers. They're all criminals. I've never met a lawyer yet in my lifetime that has done me right. You know, so, and they're maggots. And I can't call them a maggot because a maggot serves a purpose. You know, they don't serve a purpose, these lawyers. So, you know, it's just, we'll see what happens.
That's very true. That's very true. Even maggots can, clean dead, dead tissue and, you know, help you with healing from injuries. You sent me a thing on Facebook. Did you want to read it? Going to present to the court?
Well, that's my motion to dismiss. You know, I was just asking for a couple people's opinions on it, what they thought of it, because, you know, I'm going to do file a motion to dismiss because technically I don't if you want, I can read it real quick. It's not that long. Let me get it up right here real quick.
Coming from you would be best, and I think we have a long enough attention span that that you can read through it and we can see what you're going to.
Yeah, it's not that long. I typed this up myself through my own research. Obviously, I went through the headings, the case headings or whatever. But it's motion to dismiss. Defendant Joseph Gibson, through counsel, respectfully moves this honorable court to dismiss the charges against him based on the following grounds. Insufficient evidence pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 15A.1227. Defendant asserts that there is insufficient evidence to sustain a conviction. The state must prove each essential element of the offense beyond a reasonable doubt. The evidence presented by the state fails to establish that Mr. Gibson committed the alleged offense of DUI and reckless driving. Specifically, the state's reliance on the administration of Narcan as evidence of drug impairment is misplaced. Narcan is an opioid antagonistic, which is used to reverse opioid overdoses. Mr. Gibson was not overdosed, and his adverse reaction to Narcan does not prove impairment. The absence of field sobriety tests or other objective indicators of impairment further weakens the state's case. The trooper's decision to arrest Mr. Gibson without conducting a proper investigation raises serious due process concerns. Good Samaritan laws. North Carolina Good Samaritan laws encourage individuals to assist others in emergencies without fear of legal repercussions. North Carolina General Statute 90-96.2 provides immunity from prosecution for certain drug offenses when seeking medical assistance for an overdose victim. Mr. Gibson's adverse reaction to Narcan falls within this protection. The EMS workers' actions in restraining Mr. Gibson and administering Narcan without proper cause may violate the spirit of the good cause Samaritan laws. Fourth Amendment violation. The trooper's warrantless search and seizure of Mr. Gibson's blood sample violated his Fourth Amendment rights. North Carolina General Statute 20-16.2 requires a lawful arrest before requesting a chemical analysis. The trooper's arrest lacked probable cause, rendering the subsequent blood test unlawful. Case law, Barnes v. Perry, 2018, NCBC 77. This case emphasizes the need for substantial evidence to sustain a conviction. The court denied a motion to dismiss, but the facts here distinguish Gibson's situation. State v. Hill, 365 NC 273. Substantial evidence must support each essential element of the offense and the defendant's identity as the perpetrator. State v. Bruce, 315 NC 273. Legal effect of a motion to dismiss is substantially the same regardless of its label. Wherefore, the defendant respectfully requests that this honorable court dismiss the charges against Joseph Gibson based on the grounds stated above. That's it right there.
Very good. That is pretty well done, and it pretty much outlines what happened that night. And you weren't even driving.
No.
You had simply pulled over.
Yeah.
So you're just sitting there. And so –
Yeah, so they don't know.
You know,
so they don't know when the impairment happened.
You were still in the driver's seat. Exactly, exactly. You know, so they really don't know what happened. And then are they calling that witness, the lady that – Or do you know who the lady was that initially called?
There's my lawyer. You see, that's my lawyer's job, right? That's what I paid him $2,500 to do, right? You'd think he would have that all lined up for me, you know? 2 years later.
Of course not. No, they just take the money and that's it, you know? Heaven forbid they actually do any effort. So I'm hoping that everything goes okay for you. I really do.
He read the police report to me, my lawyer, over the phone, of course, the night before we had to go to court last time, which he didn't provide me a copy of it yet like I asked him to. But the police report, the trooper says Mr. Gibson was coherent, awake, didn't appear to be intoxicated at all, and was very cooperative. That's what the police report says. So, I mean, where's your probable cause? You know, where is it? You know, what's going on here?
Exactly.
So, I don't know. You know, I just don't know what's going to – I don't know what they're up to. I don't know. You got to remember, I got the GOP here in this state that hates me, you know. And then look what they did to me one time, like I said, when I was in custody before. They practically tortured me, beat me half to death, you know. So, I don't know. You just don't know.
Okay, I'm a little confused. How, if the police report says that you were coherent and didn't show any signs of impairment, then what are the grounds for their arresting you?
Exactly. It makes no sense, Joe. When he read that to me, I was like, what? You know, and my lawyer, he changed his tune. But I mean, all through this time, we were going to beat it, blah, blah, blah. I worked undercover. Remember, I was working undercover a little less than an hour before that, you know, where I was making undercover drug buys. And, you know, and my lawyer goes, well, I contacted Detective Weevil, and he says he didn't work with you until last time he worked with you was in March. I said, listen, he never contacted him. Second of all, I don't think that detective would lie. Number two, I have text messages that have dates and times that with me and him conversing with each other in the month of April, the night of the DUI. So right there, if he got on the witness stand and made that statement, he'd commit perjury, you know? So, you know, it's this is what people go through all through the country, you know, especially, you know, with minority groups. You know, this is what they talk about, you know, the discrimination, the lack of justice and due process, where people get railroaded, you know, and with me, I'm getting railroaded. You know, it's not right. It's wrong, and the system is broken.
Are you facing jail time or a fine?
No, jail time if, yeah, because remember now, supposedly I was on probation for the domestic stuff during when this DUI happened, which is untrue. Again, I was not on probation. I have the documents that back that up. But they're saying, no, I was. They fabricated a case, a docket number says, no, they got a docket number that says, no, you were on probation. No, I was not. I was not. There's nothing time stamped in my file by the clerk's office that says I was on probation. So I don't know where they're getting this from because I read my file that they have. Even the clerk of the court told me, no, you were not on probation. But yet the probation officer still wrote me up a violation. A year and a half later, he violated
me
for probation.
I remember that.
Yeah.
But in terms of this particular situation, are you facing jail time or a fine?
6 months in jail.
6 months in jail. Okay.
Yep.
I predict you are not going to jail, and you may or may not even pay a fine.
Well, I like your prediction. I don't know where you. What is that, a gut feeling or some psychic? Or where are you getting this from, if you don't mind me asking?
No, just observations of what's happened with your cases in the past. I don't think anything's going to happen.
Okay. All right. Well,
you
analyzed
it,
that's for sure.
Of course, you know they're going to pressure you. They're going to pressure you to take a deal. You know, they're going to pressure you to plead guilty, you know, to this. And then it'll reduce it, and then, you know, you'll just lose your license for, like, 5 fucking years, and you'll have to pay all these fines, and you'll have to go to treatment, and you'll have to, you know, pay out your ass to comply with it, you know, just to avoid jail time. You know that that's what they're going to do. They're going to come at you with that.
Yeah, well, North Carolina is a zero-tolerance state. North Carolina is a zero-tolerance state with DUIs, so if I plead guilty, I lose my license for a year automatically. You know, so which I'm not going for that. No way, you know. I mean, I'm not guilty anyway. I'm not guilty. I'm innocent. You know, I was not, you know, I did not knowingly drive that car drunk or intoxicated at all. I did not commit any malicious intent to violate the law or the statutes. You know what I mean? So there's just, you know, it's just insane that we're like Joe said, we're the problem cause.
The greatest leverage you have is the cop report. So if the prosecuting attorney is going to use some sort of so-called evidence against you, he also has to use, or his lawyer, or even you, if the lawyer doesn't pop up, since you already know about the report from the cops, you can use the cop's report in your behalf. At the very worst, even though North Carolina is a kind of like a no-fault state when it comes to DUIs, you're not going to pay any more than, I wouldn't say any more than $1,500, and then that would be it, if that.
And another thing, too, the blood, right? The blood, once they injected me with that Narcan, they put it in my, first of all, nobody's ever heard of that before. They said, you're not supposed to give someone Narcan through the vein. You're not supposed to inject them with it. It's supposed to go through your nasal cavity. That's how you're supposed to, you know, because you're supposed to be knocked out, almost dead, overdosed, dying. And then, then they shoot the Narcan up your nasal spray, you know, with the nasal spray. That's how it's supposed to be done. Nobody's ever heard of that, shooting and injecting it. You know, but there is a procedure where they can inject it into you. And why did the EMS worker do that? Was he trying to kill me? I mean, because he could put me in cardiac arrest. You know, I mean, because I didn't have, you know what I mean? You just don't do it, especially since I was awake, you know? I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, the feeling I got when he injected me with that, man, I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I mean, I was like, whoa, what the hell did you, what are you doing to me, you know? And the guy puts me in a chokehold, the other guy's sitting on me, you know? I'm like, you're trying to kill me, you know? That's what I thought. I honestly thought they were trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with my past.
What?
Sorry, when you said
no doubt.
And think
tomorrow,
of it this way.
Is this actually a jury trial, or is this a hearing, or is this actually a case going before a jury for tomorrow?
No, there's no jury in the district court. In district court, you go in front of a judge. It's an administrative court. So you could, if I was found guilty, I could appeal it to superior court. But remember now, this is a corrupt institute. This is a corrupt judicial system here. I mean, it's well known it's corrupt. I mean, you can Google Rockingham County. They've been investigated by the Justice Department. They've had four inmates murdered in the county jail over the last 2 years. So, you know, this is not a place where, you know, they go by the book.
Doesn't make sense to me. And Montana Joe just dropped. Hopefully he calls back in. I'm not sure if it was his phone or what, but it doesn't make much sense to me because, I mean, you are being charged with a crime, and normally with due process, you have the right to a trial by jury.
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense to me. You know, if you're pleading not guilty, then the state has to prove it in front of a jury of your peers, and the state has to convince a jury of your peers whether, you know, that you're guilty of the crime. That's normally how it works. So I don't understand how they are able to bypass that entirely and put your fate in the hands of a single judge. That to me is absolutely wrong.
Well, they do give you a jury after the district court. Like I said, you have they try you in a district court, and then you have the opportunity to appeal it. And then you appeal it to the Superior Court, and then the Superior Court, then that's when they try you by jury. And, you know, that's how they do it here in North Carolina. First you go to a district court, administrative court, on these types of offenses, you know, non-felony. So if it was a felony, I'd be automatically in Superior Court, and then I would automatically get a jury, you know. But if it's a misdemeanor, you go in administrative court, and then if you lose them in that district court, then you could appeal it to Superior Court, and then you get your jury. That's how they do it.
Looks like Mike is trying to say something. I did unmute you, Mike, but I'm not hearing you.
What I was trying to say is, I was trying to ask you if you can hear me, but what I was trying to say when he was talking about, well, these people want to get their deals, you know, these prosecutors want to get their deals and such. Well, look at what happened with Jenna Ellis and Sydney, what's her name? Particularly with Jenna Ellis, when they took her into that jail and scared the crap out of her when there was some sort of a fight that broke out as she was being processed through that jail down there in Atlanta, and she said scared the crap out of her, and they made her take a deal that she probably shouldn't have taken. You know, because they're after Trump. You know, that's how things work. They'll take you into some of these worst jails in the place, and say, okay, we're gonna process you, and something's gonna happen, a fight, a riot, something that they're gonna try and use to scare the crap out of you to take that deal, which you shouldn't take. You know?
Yeah, I've seen that happen, yeah. Yep. And that's what I'm afraid of with these people down here, you know. And, I mean, I've thought about all scenarios, you know, where just changing my name and getting the heck out of here, you know, or just you know, all kinds of crazy stuff's going through my head. But you know what? I'm not going to run. I've never ran in my life, and I'm not going to start now. You know, I'm not going to run from these people. They kill me, you know. Just remember, this is documented, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, I don't expect anything to come out of it, but I'm just saying, you know, this is what the problems we're facing in this country. You know, this is no joke, and it can happen to you. It can happen to one of your family members, and it's going to happen. It will eventually happen to everybody sooner or later because the system is broken. So don't think anyone's safe right now, you know, just because it's happening to me or the guy next door. It's going to happen to somebody else or one of you guys out there listening today. It's going to happen because the system is corrupt and broken. We've been talking about this every single time we do a show about the broken system in the Republic, you know. I mean, so when do we draw the line? Where do you draw the line? I'm not saying draw the line just because this is happening to me. I've been out there fighting for years. You know, I mean, it's just that they got me like they got Trump, you know, and they do this to thousands, tens of thousands of Americans across the country every day, you know, that we don't hear about. We only hear a few select cases.
What does Trump always say? They're not after him. They're after us. He's just in the way.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Yeah. It's a serious business, man. This is life or death. That's what this is when you're dealing with stuff like that. You know?
And there are,
life or
there
death.
Are millions, there are millions of people that aren't like Trump that don't have the money to come back and fight these people that will take that deal, even though it's a bad
yep.
deal. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely
yeah,
right.
I
and
would
even
say
if they don't
that,
take
the- it looks like we're going to have to just continue to plead not guilty and fight this thing and then appeal it, you know, and all of that. You know, it's a uphill battle, but, man, you know, especially
yeah,
now, are you able to, like, install an app or anything that can take those text messages you talked about? With the detective that you were working with, like export
yeah.
Excel or something like that, so you can print them out and bring that with you to go, hey, you know, this is, you know, these are text messages with the detective. Obviously, I was working undercover with them, you know, and this was the situation, so it's not just a claim, you know, yeah.
I smuggled myself, that cell phone, into the courthouse last time I went to court. And showed it to my lawyer, and he read it for about 2 minutes, all the text messages, and got a cell phone call on his phone, you know, because they're allowed to bring their phones in. And you know, he was trying to get me to plead guilty. He's like, do a deal. He goes, you know, plead guilty. He goes, you were DUI. It doesn't matter if you got accidentally over there. He kept telling me, no matter what. He was arguing with me in front of, like, everybody in the hallway. First of all, discussing my case in front of everybody. I didn't like that. You know, the guy, is mm-hmm. He really last
what a
trip,
shit lawyer.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah, give me your money, and I don't want to actually work for you. So take a deal, you know. Exactly,
yeah.
That's what they
yeah.
do. They'll take your money, and then they'll be like, "Just take the deal," because I don't want to actually have to fucking lift a finger, or, you know, actually
yeah.
exert any brain energy, you know, to do my job for you. It's pretty much how they are. Yeah.
I mean,
he had nothing in his hands, nothing. No briefcase, no paperwork, no nothing. You know, I looked at him. I'm like, where the hell is his file at? Where's my file? You know, what the hell? He doesn't have a pen.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, here's the deal, Joe. Ron Reck, who has, he's not a lawyer, but he's been in courts and had some wins. He's basically pointing out that all of these courts, all these people are officers of the court. They don't work for you. They work for the court. All right? Your lawyer, the prosecutor, and the judge, they all work for the court. They don't work for you. You know? Even though they're
yeah.
supposed to. And that's the thing. If you go to court and you watch these people and this the judge and Ron Reck can explain it better than I can if he decides to call in at some point. They don't work for you. They work for the court. They're officers of the court.
Yeah. No, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. And sometimes you get some good lawyers, though, that'll stand up and fight for you. Sometimes. I never got one, but, you know, I've seen it or we heard about it. But, you know, yeah, I get that. They're officers of the court, and I'm a ward of the court once I hire a lawyer. I can't speak, you know?
Right, and that's the thing. And as far as these texts go, I mean, how important – were those texts in the Fannie Willis perjury trial that they
yeah.
went, that those lawyers went and got those texts and it went in there and they said, okay, here's when it actually started. Here's them talking to each other. Here's them doing this and that and this and that. And it proved that they were lying. Now the judge tried to play Solomon and split the baby, but because he's afraid of losing his office, and he's also compromised because he gave money to Fannie Willis at one point. But that's not the point. The point is, you can go in there and get text. You can't, there's a pro. If the lawyer is a go-getter like this female lawyer was in that trial, she went in there and got those texts from both of those phones to prove. What was happening in that trial, and it proved that they were lying,
you know?
We could subpoena. You could subpoena. We could subpoena all the undercover officers I worked with. I gave him all the their contact information, you know, a year and a half ago. He's done nothing, this lawyer, nothing. And you got to remember, you know, when we try to do things at the courthouse, they don't want to hear it. The clerks ain't going to work for you. Oh, we can't give legal advice. We can't do this. Oh, you can't do this. Oh, you got to be an officer of the court to do this. They lie to you. It's like with a subpoena. I said, well, I want to get some subpoenas. I want to serve them. Oh, you can't do that. You got to hire somebody to do that. You know, what are you talking about? You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
insane.
But Lori-Ann, I got a question for you. On this trans day whatever, and on the painting of the eggs, and you can't put a Christian thing on the egg, right? A Christian symbol on the egg, right? So if I decide to paint...
Yeah, no religious symbols.
If I decide to paint a picture of the Constitution on an egg, would I be breaking the law?
In Canada, you would be.
The Constitution isn't a religious symbol, but... It's not supposed to be political either. So they have all these stipulations, like, can't be political, you know, can't. But, you know, I'm sure if they put a gay pride, you know, painted gay pride flag, then that would be okay. That's not political, right? You know, or Black Lives Matter or something like that. That'd be permissible. But the Constitution, they might go, oh, that's too political. We got to toss that in the garbage too.
Yeah. I figured that. So, yeah.
Bringing a boy, he says upside down crosses would make the egg taste rotten.
But they didn't pass no law yet, right? They didn't pass no law where that's against the law yet. I didn't see anything, did you?
No.
I know in Canada they're proposing a law against that. If you're a Christian and you go out in the street or in public and preach the gospel or anything like that, you'll be arrested. That's what the law is proposing in Canada.
That doesn't surprise me.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Does Canada even have the equivalent of, like, the freedom of assembly and freedom of speech? Does Canada even have an equal to that?
No.
Not sure.
Look at what they did to the truckers up there. That if that happened down here, that would be freedom of assembly, right? When those truckers showed up at those different spots. You know, look at what they did to the truckers up there.
Well, even when the truckers went to D.C., remember that? The truckers weren't allowed to actually occupy D.C. The truckers that went to D.C. Basically had to circle around, pretty much circled around via the freeways, but they weren't allowed to actually come into the heart of D.C. So they were restricted in that sense.
Well, yeah, and that's saying. And they did the same thing with the people who were going to go show up, and they started go on January 6th. They started to block off the friggin' exits on the highways, on the interstate, you know, which is, again, another unconstitutional thing because, they thought people were going to bring guns, and which they should have, but that's neither here nor there. They thought people were going to bring guns, and look, hopefully the next time something like that happens, you know, we the people that are trying to get in, bring in Bigfoot or whatever, and roll right over those cop cars and do whatever, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, this is where we're at. It's tyranny all over the place. And then we have the leftists that cheer for it. And they don't realize, like, you know, you're making fun of these truckers and these convoys. You're criticizing them. You're belittling them. And yet, you know, they're the ones that are fighting for your ability to even say that about them. You know, don't you understand, you know, that you're able to actually criticize, you know, and voice against them, you know, that your ability to do that is exactly what they're fighting for, because we're losing it. I mean, they don't understand that concept at all. And I don't know, you know, maybe when it finally does happen and our Constitution is completely in the shredder and we don't have those rights anymore, maybe then they'll finally realize what all these people were trying to fight for.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Now, question for you, Lorianne, any Skypers on there? On yet?
No, I do not have any Skype callers in the switchboard right now. So it's Floyd, you, Joe Gibson, Gunslinger is just hanging out. That's it. So anybody that's out there listening, call in. Although maybe everybody's finishing up their Easter dinner and kind of recovering, and hopefully they'll call in the next hour before the live show ends.
Hopefully.
But Joe Gibson, I did have another question for you.
Yeah.
Joe Gibson, hopefully you can update us, because I think everybody, you know, I think all of us, hopefully you can update us, Facebook, text message, something, to let us know how things go tomorrow. Because if we don't hear anything from you, then I think we're going to get worried that they just locked you up. And my other thing of advice is just try to keep your cool. I know it's whatever happens, it's gonna piss you off in one way, shape, or form. And so just try to keep a cool head as much as you can. Try not to choke your own lawyer, even though it sounds like it's going to be tempting to do so, because he's incompetent and is all fuck, apparently. So that's my advice to you, because they will definitely lock you up if you lose your cool.
Yeah.
But as long as you keep your cool, try not to get triggered, because I know that this is going to, the PTSD is a serious thing, and I'm not downplaying it. It is a serious thing, and it can just, when PTSD gets triggered, it can be instantaneous and really hard to hold yourself back. And so that's what I pray for you, is that you're able to keep your cool, you're able to control, PTSD and flashbacks that I know you're probably going to have. So that's what I pray for you for tomorrow, to be absolutely sincere.
Well, thank
in
you.
It.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you're absolutely right. The post-traumatic stress, is very difficult. I mean, especially look at when I'm going. I'm going to, I just got, this is the anniversary of me getting murdered almost. I mean, it almost feels like they did it on purpose, Like, if they could have did it today, they would have did it today, Instead, we'll just do it tomorrow, April Fool's Day. It's mind-boggling. It really is. And what's the justice measures here? I mean, how does this help out the community prosecuting a case like this? You think the state would be on my side? I worked for them. Here I am doing what I was doing. You think they would be like, and even if you go to see confidential informant laws in the country and in the state and from the attorney general's office and everything, I'm supposed to have immunity anyway, on most of this stuff. On the level of CI work I was doing, I was a high ranking level CI. I mean, I was, working, deep undercover, going into these houses on my own, wired up. I was breaking. They were allowing me to break the law. You know what I mean? What was that? I didn't hear something. Yeah, somebody was muffled. I don't know. I didn't hear. I don't know. Somebody said something. I was breaking the law. I mean, I was buying drugs. I was carrying ounces and ounces of drugs. I was drug trafficking. I was posing as, that was my job. I was posing as a drug dealer. That's what I was doing. And that's how I would, get these buys, 54 undercover buys. In a 2-year period, in the triad. So, you know, I'm posing as a drug dealer, you know. I mean, what else would I be buying ounces, you know, ounces? You know, obviously, if I'm going to buy ounces, I'm a dealer, you know. You ain't using that for your personal use, you know.
I mean, exactly.
Not ounces of fentanyl.
Exactly. And I'm glad that you still have those text messages to show that that's really what's going on, that, you're not just making this shit up.
I can prove it. I can prove it.
I mean,
well, you got a copy of my book anyway. You got a copy of my book. I got a history of this stuff, you know?
Exactly.
So it's...
Exactly. I did want to play that J.P. Sears clip because there's definitely plenty of stuff to talk about. And I think Boyd wants me to try to call into the crazy lib show.
Oh, yeah.
It's in politics.
Yeah.
Not sure if I'm going to spend my time on that. But we'll see. You never know. I might be able to call in before the switchboard goes dead or something. But with only a two-hour show, I don't like to waste it on the mental sludge that would be calling into Hitchin Politics. Let's see. So I am going to play this clip because J.P. Sears did a good one. He did it on my birthday, so I'm partial to it. But he did a good one with some stuff to talk about. And then, of course, there's several things that have transpired this past week that I wanted to try to touch on, too, before the evening wastes away here. So I'm going to go ahead and about 11 minutes. I'll try to cut it off, you know, when he does all his ad and promotion stuff toward the end. But so J.P. Sears, this is definitely not a psyop. I love when he does his fake news, you know, and this is for what he's doing. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, stick around. Call in if you're going to call in, and we will be right back.
And down it goes. Nothing suspicious to see here, folks. We'll tell you what to think coming up. Good evening and welcome to We Lie to You News. Here's some good news for you. It's been a horrific week around the country, so we'll probably be able to get some good ratings out of it all. Our top stories. A cargo ship seemingly accidentally steered directly into the bridge in Baltimore on purpose. Conspiracies abound. Boeing is increasingly looking like Hillary Clinton as the CEO. P. Diddy has his homes raided due to an investigation into sex trafficking, which naturally has all of us a little on edge. The sanctuary utopia of New York City and its subways are delightfully deadlier than ever. RFK announces his VP pick. Biden has spent $7.5 billion to install 10 electric vehicle chargers. Trump is doing great things, so we'll spend some time brainwashing you to make him look bad. And illegals are now cutting down border fencing so the feds won't have to. All that tonight, but first, let's start with some Black Swan energy. A Singapore cargo ship hit the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing the bridge to collapse, as you can see here. A real tragic loss of life. But the real tragedy we're concerned about is all the conspiracies that abound around the incident. We'll get to those in a minute. But first, we can rest assured that world-renowned diversity hire Pete Buttigieg is on the job, so everything's going to be fine.
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or it would have been, in New York was designed too low for it to pass by, but that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices.
When Mayor Pete is done chest feeding, he's expected to arrive at the Baltimore Bridge to assess whether or not the bridge is racist and therefore potentially deserving of what happened to it. It's refreshing to know that many of the diversity hires of the Biden administration are just white men. Is the bridge collapse simply an accident or a deliberate act of terror? Well, let's show you how to look at the evidence so you can see that it's simply an accident. First, the collapsed bridge blocks a major shipping port of entry into the U.S., so there'd be no motive for any of our enemies, either foreign or domestic, to do it. Second, here's what an experienced and now retired military general, Michael Flynn, has to say about it.
Can we take the idea that this was a terrorist attack off the table? And absolutely, we cannot do that.
And we can confirm that General Michael Flynn has worked with Trump. Therefore, everything he says is a baseless claim. Third, As you can see in this footage, where the ship is intermittently having its power lost and returned, when it's returned, the ship appears to be steering directly into the support column, which represents a relatively small area relative to the vast openness between the support columns. Whether the ship was steered directly into the columns by a terrorist captain or a cyber attack steered the ship into the column while an EMP attack flickered the lights on and off, there is plausible deniability because of the loss of power. Fourth point, the captain of the ship was Ukrainian. But there's never been any major deceptive plots involving Ukraine, other than potentially colluding with them to usher in the beginning of World War III so that a one-world government and complete totalitarian control can be ushered in, along with laundering money to the Bidens so that Hunter can buy a blanket and warm milk for his illegitimate children that Joe refuses to acknowledge. Fifth point, if you zoom out and look at the big picture, as Concerned Citizen points out on Twitter, you'll see that a bridge collapses, planes falling apart, insanely suspicious fires, series of train derailments, chemical substance explosions, food production facilities being burnt down, but it's only been over 100, thousands of mysterious dead cattle. He should have mentioned millions of dead chickens right there, too. New York's underground network of tunnels and the southern border insanity. These are just a few things that have happened across America, he says, in just the last year. People get angry for questioning such events. But if you believe they are truly authentic, then at this point you are simply asleep, naive, ignorant, or just stupid. Those are the exact things that we're trying to make people be. Well, pay no attention to Concerned Citizen's list of alleged destructive events that the globalists are using to destabilize society, because he didn't even mention the vaccines, so he clearly doesn't know anything about the globalists. Moving on, case closed. The Baltimore Bridge collapse was an accident. That's the official narrative. And if you question it, then you'll be attacked and accused of being insensitive to the tragic loss of life. And if you're a coward, then you'll comply with that intimidation and cease to ask any questions. That's a tool of psychological manipulation we use to keep our narrative robust. Works pretty well. Next up in the news, a New York City commuter was killed when they were pushed in front of a subway train in an unprovoked attack. New York authorities quickly rushed to the scene to locate the victim's ID to find out where he lives so they could give his apartment to an illegal immigrant. And in other news, the deranged killer that pushed the commuter in front of the moving subway is this career criminal who you can see grinning at the camera. Now, luckily, New York is soft on crime, or else this career criminal would have still been in jail where he wouldn't have had the opportunity to push anyone in front of the subway. This Justin! New York City Council asks state Supreme Court to allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. New York just keeps getting better. And in the Boeing case where the whistleblower John Barnett definitely killed himself from an apparent gunshot wound to the head, we're receiving reports that he wasn't suicidal.
He said, but if anything happens to me, it's not suicide, you know. I know that he did not commit suicide. There's no way. He loved life too much. He loved his family too much. He loved his brothers too much to put them through what they're going through right now.
Huh. It actually does sound like Barnett wasn't suicidal. Maybe there is cause to be suspicious of foul play being at hand to silence the whistleblower. What did Boeing have to say about it?
Boeing telling Primetime in a statement, quote, "We are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family and friends."
Oh, well, then they definitely didn't do it. They're saddened by his passing. That clears things up. I would have actually thought they'd be relieved by his passing because it stopped him from taking down the company. But I guess Boeing is the bigger people here. They're sad about his passing. You heard it right here in their statement. Well, another case closed, folks. Moving on. In other news, P. Diddy has two of his homes raided in conjunction with a sex trafficking investigation against the rapper. And there's no telling what kind of dent this might put in DNC funding. But luckily, other rappers continue to avoid being investigated for sex trafficking. And it turns out that P. Diddy and his private jet have seemingly vanished since the raids. I wonder if he's trying to avoid something. But if this case against P. Diddy is brought to trial, he's expected to push for it to be tried in New York City. That way, if found guilty, he'll be released the next day so he can push someone onto the subway tracks. And in heartwarming news, here's an illegal immigrant cutting down border fencing. who was later thanked by the feds for saving them the trouble. And independent presidential candidate RFK Jr. announces Nicole Shanahan as his running mate. Though we know nothing about her at this point, because quite frankly we haven't looked, we're inherently suspicious of her lack of diversity as she checks none of the boxes on our diversity standards. And this VP pick proves that RFK Jr. is not committed to diversity at the expense of destroying society, and therefore all the valid incriminating evidence he's documented against Fauci and the pharmaceutical companies doesn't count. And it's worth noting that the CIA probably doesn't want him in office for some reason. RFK Jr. might take some of those classified files kind of personally. We'll be right back with more lies you can trust, but first, a quick word from our sponsor. Come to Planet Fitness. We create safe spaces for predators to do unsafe things to you. And you can get a bottom-of-the-barrel fitness experience using our lousy workout equipment. Welcome back. Tonight we're receiving reports that Biden obtained $7.5 billion for 500,000 electric vehicle charging stations. And what he's actually done with that money is built 10 charging stations. This has taxpayers angry as he's wasted $150,000 of that money on Chargers for America when that money could have been sent to Ukraine too. Meanwhile, as Biden bleeds money that he didn't work for out of America's hands, last week Trump increased his net worth by $3.7 billion. That's it for today's news. At this point, hopefully you're more asleep, naive, ignorant, and stupid. Good night.
Hi.
All righty, there you have it, the latest from J.P. Sears. Good stuff, good stuff. I did put a link to the video in the chat room if you wanted to check out and watch it. And we have, let's see, we have Brina Boye raising their hand on the switchboard here, so I'm going to go ahead and bring you on in. Do we have Suzette or Robert or both fighting over the phone here?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, hello. We got BYs in the chat room as well. How you doing, Robert?
Good. I'm doing good. I'm trying to know if I was on mute or not yet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess so. Am I not muted, right? Or I'm not mute?
I can
hear
you.
Yeah, you're unmuted. You're on with us. You sound a little muffled, though.
What's that? I sound muffled?
You sound a little bit muffled, yeah.
Okay, I got it. Is that better?
I'm going to go ahead and bring Gunslinger on as well. Gunslinger's raising his hand, so bringing on in the troop. We do have a Skype number kicking back listening as well.
Skype number,
if you want me to bring you on in, press 1, and I certainly will. So, yeah,
That clip you played would fit right in on the, on what's the name of that website? The, not the Daily Onion, the, well, what's the fucking website I'm thinking
Babylon
of?
Babylon B.
Yes, sir. It's got a lot.
Yeah, I almost wonder if J.P. Sears will eventually get hired with the Babylon Bee. You know, if people start to, like, not watch his videos or something, Babylon Bee could hire him on. He'd be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently AT&T, this is an article I just saw today. AT&T says a data breach leaked millions of customers' information online. Were you affected? This just came out today. The theft of sensitive information belonging to millions of AT&T's current and former customers has been recently discovered online, the telecommunications giant said this weekend. In a Saturday announcement addressing the data breach, AT&T said,
that a data set found in the dark web contains information including some social security numbers and passcodes for about 7.6 million current account holders and 65.4 million former account holders. So if you were ever with AT&T, your info is out there on the dark web, folks. Whether the data originated from AT&T or one of its vendors is still unknown, the Dallas-based company noted, adding that it had launched an investigation into the incident. AT&T has also begun notifying customers whose personal information was compromised. Here's what you need to know. Although varying by each customer and account, AT&T says that the information involved in this breach included social security numbers and passcodes, which, unlike passwords, are numerical PINs that are typically 4 digits long, full names, email addresses, mailing address, phone numbers, dates of birth, and AT&T account numbers may have also been compromised. The impacted data is from 2019 or earlier and does not appear to include financial information or call history, the company says. How do you know if you were affected? Customers impacted by this breach should receive an email or letter directly from AT&T about this incident. The email notices began going out Saturday, and AT&T spokesperson confirmed with the Associated Press. This isn't concerning at all now, is it? That's a pretty big breach. I mean, I was floored. I'm like, okay, 7.6 current, you know, million current account holders, but then like a whole whopping 65.4 billion former account holders. Wow, you know, that's a pretty big breach. That's huge. That's really huge. I think I've never had my cell phone or anything with AT&T, thankfully, but I know my family members do. I have family members that are on AT&T. So if you're with AT&T, I mean, what is with these problems? They just had that outage. When was that outage? Wasn't that like a month ago? A little over a month ago or something when AT&T had that outage?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Maybe 2 months.
There were rumors that it was an attack on AT&T, because it wasn't just their phones that went out, their internet went out as well. If you got internet through AT&T, it went out too, you know, so it was like something like a solar flare or an EMP hit specifically AT&T, and they poof, gone, you know? Now, I don't, Boyd could probably speak more to this, you know, because he worked for AT&T at one point.
Yeah, I did, but I wasn't when it happened.
I know.
It could have been a whole lot of different things that happened.
Right. And it wasn't just AT&T that went out with their internet. It was my cable company that went out as well. Their internet went out as well. So it wasn't just AT&T.
If your provider uses AT&T's lines, you know, and their infrastructure, mm-hmm. then during that outage, then you were affected too, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so I wanted to definitely put that out there because that affects a lot of people. And then I'm going to also put in the chat room here from the White House, March 23rd. I wanted to talk about this. I'm glad Gunslinger is on with us. And then 256, I see you. I'll bring you on here in a second. This is fact sheet. Vice President Kamala Harris announces two gun safety solutions while continuing efforts to keep schools safe from gun violence. During her visit to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, Vice President Harris is announcing two solutions to keep guns out of the hands of people in crisis. Keeping students safe from gun violence in their school communities is a top priority for the Biden-Harris administration, according to the Washington Post. There have been 394 school shootings that exposed more than 360,000 students to gun violence since the mass shooting at Columbine High School in Colorado in 1999. The Biden-Harris administration is committed to preventing gun violence. President Biden and Vice President Harris worked to enact the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, BSCA, the most significant gun safety law in nearly 30 years. Following this, Following this, the president created the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which is being overseen by Vice President Harris. So we all know how effective this is going to be, right? Put her in charge of something and watch it all go down the toilet. Anyway, the unprecedented office is accelerating the implementation of BSCA, identifying new executive actions, partnering with state and local officials, and coordinating the first-ever federal interagency response to mass shootings and concentrations of community violence. The president has also taken more executive actions on preventing gun violence than any other president. Yeah, I'm the most gun control happy president ever. Be proud of it, folks. Okay, so the Biden administration invested more research in school safety and taken significant steps to keep firearms out of school. The strategy is focused on, one, stopping people in crisis and juveniles from accessing firearms, and two, implementing evidence-based, school-based prevention solutions, and three, addressing the mental health needs of students, particularly those impacted by gun violence. First, Vice President Harris is announcing the launch of the first-ever National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center, which will support the effective implementation of state red flag laws. And I know we've talked about this, but I'm wanting to express what the White House has actually said about this. The Resource Center will assist states, local governments, law enforcement, prosecutors, attorneys, judges, clinicians, victim service providers, and behavioral health and other social service providers in optimizing the usage of red flag laws. Laws that allow a family member or law enforcement to seek a court order to temporarily take away access to guns if they feel a gun owner may harm themselves or others. The Resource Center will provide training and technical assistance, which will include developing and disseminating educational opportunities and workshops for a wide variety of stakeholders, keyword stakeholders, providing implementation support, supporting peer-to-peer engagements with model learning sites, performing site assessments, and developing presentations and webinars that will enhance states and localities' knowledge in key areas related to ERPOs, again, Extreme Risk Protection Orders. The Resource Center is funded by the Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Assistance Grant, made possible by the SBA, and is run by the John Hopkins Center for Gun Violence Solutions, so we should completely trust this. Second, the Vice President is calling on states to pass red flag laws and to use the SBA funding to help implement laws already enacted. The Biden-Harris administration made $750 million in federal funding to implement state crisis intervention programs, which includes red flag programs, mental health courts, drug courts, and veteran treatment courts. Yep. Keyword, veteran treatment courts. There's your clue, folks, who they're targeting. In February 2023, the DOJ awarded over $238 million to 51 states, territories, and the District of Columbia that applied to use these funds to implement state crisis intervention programs. The DOJ anticipates making up an additional $141 million in awards in fiscal year programs. This funding can be used to, one, train judiciary and court staff on red flag proceedings, two, what family members can do when they see warning signs, and three, first responders on recognizing signs of crisis. The funding can also be used to raise public awareness about red flag laws, distribute written and multimedia materials, including in multiple languages, oh boy, and publish best practices. Of the 21 states and territories with red flag laws, only six are accessing the BSCA funding to implement their red flag laws. The remaining 15 states with red flag laws are strongly encouraged to use BSCA's funding to implement their red flag laws. The 29 states without red flag laws should enact those laws and ensure effective implementation supported by the BSCA funding. I think, do some people have something to say about that?
They want to have money on hand so they can pay informants and recruit informants.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I mean,
oh yeah.
How unconstitutional is this? I mean, how in the hell? Where in our Constitution does it allow the federal government to make an office like this with this much money and basically bribing them, you know, hey, you know, you states that don't have red flag laws, oh, shame on you. You should have them. Yeah. Here's the bribe. We'll give you millions of dollars. We'll totally help support it if you implement these laws. We'll even train you how to best use them against the people that we want to, like, I don't know, veterans.
That is SOP for the federal government. To bribe the states to do what they want them to do on anything.
I'm bringing Danny and Kathy on here.
On anything. On anything that the federal government wants. They will bribe states into taking money. Yep.
They gave states money to go with the government's health care plans, Obamacare. Alabama, you know what? We didn't take a dime, but we never got the low paying Obamacare plans either. I went several years having Crohn's disease and couldn't get insurance because we didn't take the money, but I was glad. I didn't die, so I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, yeah.
The last time we've been anywhere close to being constitutional was before Obama got elected. Because remember all those czars that he came up with? Those are wildly unconstitutional. The czars, czar of this and czar of that and all this stuff, they are wildly constitutional. So this shouldn't surprise you, you know, because the Democrats will be trying this stuff. Because, one, they figure we've got to get all this stuff done before Trump gets in, because he's not going to allow it. And Trump is likely to either be taking this thing to court or flat out, writing an executive order to cut it down, you know. So they know it's not going to last once Trump gets into office, if he does. And so the only thing I can say that would help get rid of these shootings is getting rid of the gun-free zones. You know, that's it. Get rid of the gun-free zones. Because every time there's a gun-free zone, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School was what? A gun-free zone. That theater in, what, Colorado was what? A gun-free zone. You know? Was, I believe, the high school in, the school in Uvalde, Texas, was a gun-free zone. So, go figure. Go figure, right? You go, gun-free zones are magnets for school shooting, for mass shootings, guys.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, wasn't that transgender shooter, you know, it might have gone down the memory hole by now, but that shooter, the he, she, whatever, deliberately chose that school because it was known that the security was lax, you know, that it would be the mm-hmm. easiest target. I believe that when it came up, when the part of her statements or whatever was that, you know, there was a couple other locations that were being considered for her rampage, but she chose that school. He chose that school because, it would be the easiest to access, to infiltrate, to get in there and wreak the most havoc. So, yeah, you know, keep pushing these no-flag laws, you know. I mean, keep pushing these, you know, gun-free zones because they're so much safer, right?
Plus, she had been a student at that school.
Mm-hmm. And remember this. Remember the Pulse nightclub down there in Florida? Well, the guy that went and did what he did at the Pulse nightclub, he was going to go, his original target was Disney. That was his original target. But when he saw that Disney had, you know, had the security, he wanted to go to a softer target. And guess what? He goes to the Pulse nightclub. Forget that there was a gay nightclub. What did it have in common? It was a gun-free zone.
Because of course it was. You know, I'm tired of this. You know, this is, you know, and this is like another, I can't help but think like how the Biden administration is going to use this new office to really twist statistics around. Because you know that's what they do too. They will completely ignore anything that suggests that, I don't know, having like teachers or school personnel voluntarily take firearm safety and tactical courses and regular practices at a shooting range to voluntarily do that and be armed in school to help protect their students. Anything that supports that idea, any statistical data that shows that would actually be effective, you know damn well that this administration, our government, is going to suppress that. They're going to highlight, twist, and lie using statistics that support their gun control agenda. And of course, they're going to hold up children as the reason why. It's for the children. It has nothing to do with us wanting to completely disarm the society because we don't like the conservatives and we don't like the gun owners and they're too much of a threat to us. No, no, no. It has nothing to do with that. It is everything. Saving the children. That's their excuse for everything.
Yes,
the
is.
More tyranny
figures,
they want to bring on
figures,
us, the more they hold up children to do it.
Figures lie and liars figure.
And then you talk about the statistics, right? And there's a saying that gunslinger likes to say all the time. He says, numbers don't lie, but they can be manipulated. Right, gunslinger?
Absolutely. I mean, isn't there like some famous picture of Bill Gates at his desk and right by his side? You know, he has like a stack of books, and one of those books is How to Lie with Statistics.
Yes.
I mean, that must be, you know, that must be like required reading. You know, if you get elected to a federal office of any kind, that must be required reading. I'm going to go ahead and bring Nathan on. I see Nathan is raising his hand, so I'm going to welcome him on into the fold here.
Hey.
Hello, Nathan.
I got woke up whenever someone was trashing the Democrats for Obamacare. The Republicans jumped out in front of the Tea Party because that was one of their biggest complaints, and they came in with the, you know, the reelect the Republicans and hold their feet to the fire, and the vote for Obamacare was 100-0 after Ted Cruz's 21-hour, 19-minute filibuster. A month later, he's on CNN with Chris Cuomo fussing about the goods and bads over Obamacare, and a month before they had their vote, Tim Scott wrote a letter to Obama. I got a copy of it, listing all the damage it'll do to our economy and to the healthcare system, and 100% of the Republicans signed it. And then a month later, they voted 100-0 for it. That's a game. Then people say don't listen to CNN because CNN is just going to lie to you. I can send them and they say the same thing the vote record says. So, you know, we got to come up with something other than the Republicans are going to save us. This is not the Republican Party. It's the Whig Party that the king sent over here to take us back politically because he lost it in the war. And whenever Lincoln came along, it was over. But the little small party got invaded because the Whig Party disbanded and flooded the Republican Party and put us back on track to where we're at tonight. That's just getting my therapy.
Nathan, it's like Dan Bongino says. He says that Republicans all Republicans are Democrats, but no Democrats are Republicans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's one party. There's one party because listen, we could not. You know, they sit up there and watch the stuff, watch them fight over it, and all they're talking to is our hearts. They're not talking to our minds. And all I got to do, I was 18 years old in 1978, registered with a Republican, didn't know what I was doing. I was asking older people, my dad and stuff like that, which out of these guys, who would you vote for? And that was me. But when I got my first computer in 2004, my sister and my neighbor taught me how to get on and get around on it. My sister showed me how to get into the congressional, the Senate, and executive and judicial records, okay? And whenever I went and started looking from the Great Depression up to that point, that spring I switched over to no party affiliate with a vow that I'll never vote for any Republican. I would never vote for a Democrat, you know? But anyhow, no, we got to keep – we got to get out of this thing. We're at a point like at the time of Lincoln. You know, Trump seems to be the man that sees the real issue, and we need to get behind him and forget the party being the one that helped
get
him elected.
And that's the thing. The reason why they're stressing over the ouster of Ronna Romney McDaniel, Ronna McRomney there, is because that's their last vestige of control over the RNC.
Oh,
all right.
Let me jump in here. This is somebody mentioned Obama's czars and it not being constitutional. If you get online and you start with Obama health czar, okay. Type in Mitt Romney and that guy's name or that girl's name, okay? It's do the Obamacare czar and then do the science czar and then go down the list. Just type it in, hit space, and then type in that guy, and you'll find they all had the same job but under the title of advisor. Two-thirds, and I'm not a mathematician, this is a guess, okay, but around two-thirds of Obama's czars came from Romney, and the last one-third was split up between Clinton and W.,
Nathan,
you're right. You know what I mean? We can't really rely on Republicans to actually be conservative. They've proven it time and time again with the GOP. I would venture that more people should be considering voting Libertarian or voting Constitution. Start going third party more and more and more, because guess what? When it comes to these gun rights, a Libertarian is not going to vote for any of this shit. You know what I mean? If you really want to shrink government, you vote Libertarian or Constitution Party. If you really want to preserve and reverse all of these insane fucking gun control laws, you got to vote Libertarian or Constitution Party.
I'm going to hang up after this.
Everything under the sun. Republicans are not going to do it for us. They've shown it time and time again. The GOP is just as corrupt. There are too many rhinos. And, you know, the only people that there really are that truly want to shrink government, truly want to protect our gun rights, truly want to protect our First Amendment, are the Libertarians and the Constitution Party people. I'm going to say it right now.
Well, but the Libertarians and the Party, yeah, but they work with the Republicans already. I'm not into any team. Here's what I'm doing, and then I'm going to hang up and keep listening. Here's what I'm doing. I made a vow back then that I won't vote for any Republican or anybody in a party. What I do is I find the candidates, and I question them. If they'll listen to me, I question them. And then all I do is hand them all I'm looking for is a person with a consistent resume. If he worked for 6 years at the Waffle House washing dishes and he's running, I'm not worried about his history here. Read this Constitution. Read it. Don't read what other people say it says. Read it. And if you're on the ballot, I'll vote for you. That's all I'm doing. I'm voting my conscience. I can't let them scare me that we might lose everything. We've been losing everything, and I've been doing that for too many years of my life. But I'm going to hang up and keep listening.
All right. And that would be a good time, too. You don't have to hang up, but call right back in, and you can continue listening. There is 14 and a half minutes to call in. So if you're out there, anybody in the chat room, we got Jim Clark in the chat room, anybody else out there listening, feel free to call in now before the live show ends. You got 14 and a half minutes or so to do so, 563-999-3485. And then we will go into the extended hour. But if you're not called in and on the switchboard listening, then the audio is going to drop here in about 14 minutes. Then we get into what I call the bonus hour. So that's part of the show recording. But like I said, your audio will cut off if you don't call in. And you can call back and call in. Sit back and listen if you want. And then just press number one if you do want to chime in and you want me to bring you on. I'm happy to do so. So again, 563-999-3485.
Right.
Jim Clark says in the chat room, you must come on early. Well, you know, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, Jim Clark. So not too early, but I'm glad that you're here in the chat room. And like I said, love to have you stay on with us, call in, and just kick back and listen if you want. Because I think he's usually working and so can't really talk, but I know that he likes to listen to my show sometimes, and I try to tune in once a week when he does a show and give him a listen as well. So anyway, but, you know, I'm just going to, repeat that, both parties, this duopoly, has proven time and time again they have failed us. They have failed us for decades. And they keep spectacularly failing us more and more and more. I mean, we saw it with this $1.2 trillion fucking thing that passed that they only had, a little over 24 hours to review over 1,000 pages of shit. And $1.2 trillion. And that's only going to get us through until September. That's absolute insanity. And this shit passed. And I'm still pissed because even the Republican Congress members and both of the senators here in Oregon, they all voted for it. every fucking one of our elected representatives mm-hmm. voted for that $1.2 trillion monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
How is that representation? That is a complete failure of representation, because I can guarantee you that, guess what? You know, the conservatives in the districts of both of those, the only two Republicans apparently in our Congress, I can guarantee you their constituents absolutely should be pissed. And if they don't know that they voted for that goddamn thing, they should know it. They should be pissed about it. And they should absolutely, like I said, start looking into voting libertarian and constitution, because a libertarian and a Constitution Party person would never have voted for that fucking monstrosity mm-hmm. of $1.2 trillion. Never would have happened.
And that's why, Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing what she's doing, you know, by trying to get Mike Johnson out, because he whipped the vote in the House for this thing. All right. So I disagree with Boy when he calls it crap, but because it needs to happen, because Mike Johnson is part of the problem. It's like another thing that Bongino says is all these people in Washington, they hate us. They don't like us. They may say they like us, but they don't like us. They hate you. All right? And that's what we're dealing with. I mean that's what we're dealing with here. They hate us up there. Doesn't matter who we elect, they hate us.
Well, they can hate us all we want, but the more people that start diverting away from this duopoly, the better, I think. That's the only way change will actually happen.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you
like
on
what Nathan
diverting
was saying,
away.
You know, I want to get real people in, you know, real people, not career politicians, real people that have struggled in their life, you know, have had real world struggles that didn't, you know, that weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth, people with principles, people that aren't going to compromise on this kind of stuff. We need to get more people like that, and I don't know how much to stress that, you know, and I think that that's something that even Democrats right now is a prime opportunity, because a lot of Democrats are starting to wake up. You know, they're starting mm-hmm. to see that, oh, guess what? You know, the Democrat Party, Biden-Harris administration, they're fucking us too. You know, you can't blame it on the GOP all the time. You know,
yes,
we got to start
yes,
going, you know,
well,
that
like
we're getting screwed over.
You told a good thing there, Truth, about the first step program there that Trump implemented to help you know, people in jail that are oppressed and people that, you know, they don't get fair due process. So he helped, you know, get a lot of cases were reviewed around the country. A lot of people got out of jail. A lot of people are still getting out of jail because of that and pardon, which that I think, you know, the justice system we know is unbalanced and unfair and does discriminate. So I'll agree with you there 100% on that. But the Electoral College, I didn't catch, I caught the tail end of that. My thoughts is the way the Electoral College works is, look, if we have the popular vote always decide our elections, then really we would only need California and Texas to conduct the elections, because the popular vote, that's where most of the population is. Right.
Well, and I will say this too, you know, everybody that's behind Trump, you know, I'm one of the few here, of course, I'm libertarian, I've never voted for him. Depending on who he chooses for a VP, that'll be a big clue and a considering factor for me. But when it comes to this, you know, red flag law, fucking resource center that's been implemented now, remember, it was Trump who said, not just once but twice, two separate times, I like the idea of take the guns first and deal with due process later, deal with the courts later. He's the one that said that. He is the one that was encouraging states to implement red flag laws. okay? So this shit started with him. Biden and Harris are just taking the fucking baton that he had with Red Flintoff and bringing it to the next level.
The voice then, minority in a republic.
You sound kind of far away, Phil Gibson. I'm not sure if you're talking across the room or what, but you sound kind of far away. So I don't mean to talk over you.
I don't. You have to reestablish the districts, though, when the population grows.
Right, right. And think about this. You thought it was a good idea.
Then
you thought it was
stuff. There's too much fraud there. It's open. It's too much fraud.
Right. We thought it was a good idea when Greg Abbott and DeSantis and stuff sending.
Yeah, mail-in. But you don't think mailing in the ballots is opening the door to potential fraud?
It's
not potential fraud, Joe. Telling Joe that mail-in ballots are not potential fraud. They are
fraud. And get this, they are fraud, and the Democrats were pointing this out in like 2010, 2012, whatever it was. Because there were articles in like the New York Times and the New York, I think New York Post as well, but New York Times they were arguing that mail. Now, granted, they were arguing fraud for a different reason, because at that time, everybody knew that the mail-in ballots were mostly used by the military.
Now, every state's different, of course. But with the electronic, with the electric computer systems and the design of the Dominion machine, how it goes up in the cloud, and how could we not expect something that's digital be fixed?
Right.
Joe Gibson, you still sound kind of far away, like you're talking from across the room.
Right, and that's...
Yeah,
that
and then
is,
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Our Second Amendment is where I draw the line. I really, would like to see Trump reverse his statement
on
red flag laws. I would really like to see him go, you know what, I know I supported it. Like, just admit that you were wrong about it, and he would score some big-time points with me.
It all operates as
But here, I want Joe earlier was mentioning about the Electoral College and stuff, and we're fighting a thing about redistricting in different states, right? I mean, look, I've talked about this whole fucking district like a diagonal district here in Louisiana, but that's not the point. My point was about the redistricting is, all these people
What about the 2000 Mules movie there that came out that showed?
No, but here's the deal.
Doing ballot harvesting.
People have been moving out of places like California, and New York, right? Moving to Florida and places like that. Moving down south, right? Well, here's the deal. That lessens the power of New York State and stuff like that. Well, here's the deal. You get the head count up there by bringing in these. They don't care. That's the reason when Trump went to put in a question about are you a citizen into the census, right? The Democrats fought that tooth and nail, and it never got in there, right? And so. Now that it's not in there and you can go take that head count, the more people we send up to New York, they're going to take that head count. What matters here. The head count is what matters. It don't matter if they can vote or not. It's the head count. You know, and the more people that are in that district, the more seats they can get up there.
But my state started about 3 weeks prior before the primary.
Right.
I don't know.
That's right now.
Oh, okay.
The reason for the Electoral College is to give power to the smaller states. You know, give a little bit of power to the smaller states. If we go by popular vote, then you know, it's going to be California, New York, Florida, Texas. That's it. That elects the president. That's it. Those four states. That's where all the population is.
Well, that's what I was going to
ask. That's what I mean. Like, if the Electoral College is so bad, then what is our guarantee? What is our solution if we were to get rid, you know,
so many people
are calling for the end of it. So it's like, well, then what do you do?
Otherwise,
like everybody's saying, New York and California will dictate the whole thing.
I mean, are we going to hear that, or are we going to accept the result?
Joseph, I can't hear a word you're saying when Lorianne's talking.
When we beat Hillary,
you sound
muffled. A lot of people that were upset.
Yo.
Yeah, Joe, your audio is not very good. You sound really far away, so I don't mean to speak over you, but it's kind of hard to hear you because you sound like you're 30 feet away.
But that's our process. That's how.
And you start talking in the middle of somebody talking.
All right, and I do have a Skype number raising their hand. I want to go ahead and bring that person in, let's find out. Hey, Skype number,
well,
you're on. Who do we got
Bush,
with us?
It was a big thing. Remember with Florida? Back in 2000, I remember there was a big thing with Florida.
Yes,
hi, Brother
Florian.
Mike. I recognize
you. How
are
you? Good.
Sorry,
always
Joe
to talk to you. And talk to your...
After he finally did openly accept it, but not at first he did. Not at first.
Okay.
Hang on, Mike. Joseph, are you suffering from a long delay?
Well, there's a lot of questions about Pennsylvania. There's a question about Pennsylvania.
I think he's on another show. He's talking stuff that's not even on our show. Lorianne's show, I'm sorry.
Well, sorry.
I think it was my turn. Lorianne, the host, say hi to me. I was trying to engage in a little bit talking, but unfortunately, everybody talk over each other. This is called anarchism. If this is you guys are Trump supporters and causing all anarchism, hell with Trump, hell with GOP. You know, she won't liberalize. We want somebody that understands that hey, be civil to each other, be nice to each other, and when I am talking, nobody will
talk
to me.
But
unfortunately, you see,
now,
we have
bring up Al Gore. Al Gore had a big thing with climate change. Remember, we were all going to be dead by now. Remember, and he did say that.
I mean, look at Joe
Gibbs.
Hang on. It's not true.
I mean, same crap. Do you think anybody going to listen to the Joe Gibson anymore? No.
Okay,
because everybody talking over each other. I mean, be civil to each other. I mean, Kat came 2 nights ago. Really, she was so good. And we already, I mean, everybody respected Kat. And, you know, we were able to talk pretty good. But what is going on with you guys? I mean, you guys are just... You want to cut the throat of everybody?
shame on you guys. I mean,
no,
hey, I think Lori Ann, she comes and put her time, her money, her...
We can't control it. We cannot control it.
You
can control
Mike,
it. You can control
Mike,
it, but because
me.
You don't want to let anybody else talk, only your ideas of this, and that's not right, my friend. And it's going to, so if this is the future of America, then hell with America.
No, hey, Mike, excuse me. I don't want to talk over you. Lori Ann, would you mute Joe? Because Kathy said, I think he's talking on another show.
Yeah, he's talking on his Daniel.
Of course I don't want to.
Yeah, he might be.
He is.
Of course I don't
want to. He's totally on another show.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to mute him while I still can because it sounds like he's dialed into another show, maybe with another phone line or something. So he's not talking to us.
Exactly.
And then I did just bring on Cinnamon. Welcome on in, Cinnamon.
My apologies to you on this, but Joseph was talking to somebody else before you even came on, and we were having just a hell of a time with Joe starting to talk on another show, bleeding over into our show. We couldn't hear you, and that's all. And apologies. All I wanted to do was have Lori Ann mute him.
Okay, accept it. I appreciate you guys. But the question is, we must always, if something like this, because I was listening earlier, and everything keep cutting off tonight. So I don't know, is the technical problem with BTR? Or is your show, especially, I don't know. But still, you are right. He was talking to different show and whatever, and then causing havoc on our system. And then nobody can understand anything we want to discuss friendly to each other. We don't have enmity with each other. We love each other. We want to be strong, and that's what we want: unity in diversity. Otherwise, our country will collapse. And if we help sooner to collapse it, then we all witness the more calamities, and not good for all of us. Go ahead, please.
I agree with you, Mike.
Mike, you're absolutely right. We have a bad habit on our shows where we're all online and stuff talking over each other, and that's something that's that bothers me just as much as it bothers you, because I can't hear either one of them saying whatever they're trying to make a point on. So yes, you are absolutely positively right.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I appreciate you too. And then imagine your listeners from other XYZ country, XYZ state, XYZ cities. They want to hear you. And once they cannot hear you, then it's waste of the time of the the host and yourself and ours. Because we want
to give all the viewpoints
and everybody understand and everybody respect each other and move forward. You may not agree with everything I say.
I will throw in that when the host is speaking, shut the hell up. At least shut the hell up for the host. And don't talk
respect.
Over the host. Because usually the host has something to say, like, hey, I'm bringing somebody in. Hey, who do we have on the line? Hey, we only have so much, blah, blah, blah. And most of the time I give people the floor, and I think most of us try to, but way too often it's like I'm the one having to talk over everybody, and it's like, hey, guys, this is my show. If I want to speak, shut the hell up, let me speak, and then I'll give you the floor. That's one of my asks.
Absolutely.
At least tell the host respect.
Because when she's going to bring somebody, and then everybody else wants to interrupt. The other person is introducing himself or herself to all of you nice people, and then what we get? We get nothing out of it. And Lorianne will have problems. The person who's calling, like in tonight, I have problems, or other times I had problems, but I'm not going. If Joe Gibson next time talk over me, I will boycott his thing. And if I boycott it, a lot of people, because I'm very famous in BTR, and everybody know me, and they know that I'm working hard for unity and love, harmony, peace, tranquility for everybody, you know? And everybody should know that. We need to have peace with each other. And, you know, we move forward to the next topic. Please, go ahead, host.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things I think that happens, too, you know, before we move on to, like, the next current events or topic of discussion, and sorry, I'm getting ice for a drink, is I think a lot of us suffer from, like, five-second brain. And so, you know, I know I do. So it's like if I don't get my thought out in, like, 5 or 10 seconds, then it's, like, gone. And I think that a lot of us do that, too. And so that's part of why we talk over each other. Is because we're just trying to be like, oh, shit, I have this thought in my head, and I know that I'm going to lose that thought if I wait 5 minutes.
It will vanish, yes.
But maybe.
Now that I'm 51 years old, I understand this dynamic more and more.
Right. Maybe what you can do, you can maybe, you know, put everybody on the mute, go say your number is number 5, for example. I am number 5. And then you go through the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then you go back after you made or whatever comment would you like. You are in charge, and then you go back to 1. Do you have any feedback regarding what we discussed? Yes. Okay, well, 1, then number 2. I know,
there are some
but,
people that have taken that kind of approach where it's just like a one-at-a-time kind of thing. And when I had a guest on, I brought people on, but I didn't mute them after I brought them on. It seems like then it's just kind of people don't get to engage with each other that way. And number 2, blog talk is slow when you're hitting the unmute, you know, and mute buttons and unmute and stuff like that, you know. So when you have multiple callers on and then there's this delay when unmuting people and muting people again, if I had a co-host, it might be easier to do that, you know, to operate that way. But when it's just me and I'm trying to funnel through who's getting what, you know, it just doesn't, that approach doesn't really work for me, or at least it hasn't. But, you know, and I don't like to mute people, number 1, because I like to support free speech. And I think that a lot of the right. conversations, even though we end up talking over each other, it is everybody kind of chiming in all at once. So I don't want to, like, shut everybody up but one person at a time kind of a deal, because I think that that disrupts the flow of the conversation.
Another solution, too, maybe you say, okay, kind of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So maybe after your comment, maybe say, okay, number 1, go ahead and talk. Number 2, number 3, maybe without shutting each other, their microphone off, you know. But at the end, maybe we have to have a lot of more control. Let's put it that way. If we don't have a control over what's going on, then unfortunately nobody can listen to any shows anymore. I mean, at least.
So Mike, Brother Mike, the other, is the other Mike. I'm on a show, well, he didn't do a show today, but I'm another show that I'm a contributor to, another show that runs like you're talking about. He'll do a show. Okay, it's a sports/wrestling show, but he'll do a show. He'll say some. you'll have two or three or four callers, right? Contributors that will call up. You'll say something that'll come to me. I'll take the minute and a half, 2 minutes, or whatever it is to say something. Then he'll put me on mute and go to the next guy, and he'll say his piece. He'll go to the next guy and put that guy on mute. The third guy will say his piece, and so on and so forth, and then until he gets right back to the host. That's how he chooses to run his show, and he's been doing his show for a decade now, this particular show for a decade now.
I mean,
yeah.
That sounds good, but my friend, I mean, for example, we have many, many, many people. I don't want to name them because then disunity comes. But we can see many people come and take over the shows. And it's not the first time. I am active as much as possible because I love my country too, like everybody else. But so I'm trying to be active. And I know those people. And they are they call hijacking the shows. But I don't want to name anybody else, but I am sure Lorianne knows which one I'm talking about.
Right. And
there's plenty
Mike,
of people like that,
And Lorianne and Brother Mike, there are people that are flat-out dictators on their shows that – they have to have it a certain way or else they're not going to do the show, right? Or else you're not going to be on
the
show.
Yeah, I'm not then, that OCD controlling, you know.
That's
to the host's
about.
Discretion, though. That's their right. They can run it however the way they want to. And I will say that sometimes it's kind of a relief. You know, I think Robert, Conservative Nation Media, that I co-host on Friday night, he and I both agree. Sometimes he and I are just, like, tired, and we're actually grateful for when people call in, you know, that, like, Sarge and Pianki and Joe Gibson and other people, and they're all just kind of like, go ahead, take control of the show, because we're both tired, and we're kind of glad
we don't have to run everything.
And if I was OCD controlling, that would be a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, who's the big liberal black fellow that calls in sometimes? Not Nathan, but the other guy. Blanking on his name.
I think you're talking about Naj.
Okay. Naj.
And I'd actually like to give Naj the floor more often. If Naj calls in, I actually want to give him the floor more often because he's always talked over. He's never allowed to complete a sentence hardly. And I actually like him. I don't know why people hate him so much, but, you know, I actually like to hear what he says when he's actually able to do it. And so, you know, when he calls into my show, I usually try to give him the floor.
Naj, what was it? A week or so ago.
I think
ago,
he's talking about
Naj called in the Ron Rex show, and we had a nice conversation with him at that point. Boyd was there.
I think brother guy from Louisiana.
Well, I was talking about him from Louisiana. We don't want this.
We don't talk about him anymore.
Okay, I think
we don't need to talk about Brother Warren anymore. He's a thing of the past. He's a gnat that got swatted off of BTR, and I'm all the glad for it.
Yeah,
we don't want to.
He was a troll.
We don't want it to turn into a George. Their show. Remember what I'm talking about, Mike, from Louisiana?
Yeah,
he's a dictator.
I do, and so does Boyd.
He's a dictator.
So does Boyd.
Boy, you talk about a little Nazi. Woo! Boy.
Woo!
That's the guy I was referring to earlier. His way or no way?
No way. Yep.
Well, here's my insight into this conversation.
Go ahead.
I did bring Cinnamon on, and I did want to give her a chance to speak since I brought her on. She hasn't been able to open her mouth. So, hi, Cinnamon.
Hi, everybody. I wouldn't say hi the first
Cinnamon.
Time, and I was muted. Yeah, I know sometimes
and
when...
And I think even Cinnamon knows. Oh, go ahead,
yeah,
Cinnamon,
when,
sorry.
Well, no, when emotions run high, everybody starts talking over everybody. Because they want to get their little, get their idea in, like, before they forget. Because we move on so easy before the topic, you know, moves to a different way, you know, takes a little tangent. And then you've got
some
people that are on,
you know, in a second.
Yeah, and some people, I know there's a delay on the computer, so some people listening in on the computer, I think they might get a little bit of a delay. And so they're answering, and they don't think somebody else is answering at the same time. I think that causes
that
a bit
happens
of problem.
As well.
Yeah.
And I know I've even gotten defensive of you, like, you know, on Donnie's show on Saturday nights. I've even gotten defensive on you when people were trying to talk over you. And I'm like, hey, this is the hostess of the show. Shut the fuck up, you know.
Yeah. Tom tells me my problem is I'm too quiet. He says you got to get in there. You got to talk a little louder.
I mean, we should learn politeness. I mean, especially a nice host tonight we have, and not only her, any other host or hostess. Therefore, you know, we need to show politeness, and it doesn't matter even if we call from a village in Arkansas, for example. So it's okay, you know, city, people are different acting to each other. But still, you know, we need to learn and go with the flow and respect everybody, respect the host and hostess or combination of both of them. And so let's move on. Let's discuss, and hopefully we, you know, we have looked for commonality than differences. Go ahead, Liz.
Absolutely. You're right. You know, and one of the things that, you know, came to my mind as you were speaking too is just, you know, when it comes to hosting a show, the host or hostess should definitely be given the respect and the floor, and you know, and like, because we have something to talk about here. And I know with Cinnamon, and I know even with Robert, you know, on Conservative Nation Media, I've had to chime in and go, hey, shut the hell up, Robert's trying to talk, you know, the host of the show is trying to talk. And it's like, we're inviting you into our home, you know, here, you know, it's
absolutely
internet radio, but it's like inviting us into your home, and please don't shit on the carpet, you know. That's pretty much what it is. Right,
that's
Cinnamon?
Right.
Don't shit on my carpet, please. I invited you here.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then brother Mike, there are times,
yes,
on the show, there are times on the show, And there's been a few where I specifically know that you were involved, where a couple of people on the show will get into a discussion on a subject, and none of the people that are talking are the host or hostess of the show, but yet everybody sits back and let them go at it because they are both talking, you know, on a subject that we all want to listen to, but we also, for me, a lot of times I won't say much because I don't know the subject that well. But I do jump in every once in a while, where I think, you know, it's necessary. Or I will be a bad boy, and I will jump in on top of somebody when they're speaking. And a lot of times, I've done it to where I will try and interrupt the person that's making a point, not because I want to debate the point, but say, you know, he forgot, you know, a date or something like that, or gave the wrong date, wrong name, and all I wanted to do was correct a record real quick. And, you know, that's a fault of mine. And it's not a fault of the people who are talking. You know, we all have our faults and stuff. And I admit that I will jump in and go about trying to make a point and maybe not make it. I mean, I've gone, hell, Lori Ann and I have gone around and around sometimes on her show, you know, and I'll leave the show because I'm just so damn pissed off that, you know, at whatever she said or whatever I said, and it's, yeah, it's not.
You mean I
really
say something that pisses you off sometimes?
Oh,
we're in trouble now.
I mean, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
It's not healthy, and it's poisonous. And then those people who are coming to this show or listening or whatever in the near future, I mean, they their nervous system is broken down. Right now we are under attack, you know that. I mean, today was another Borsch hit a bridge in Arkansas today. So we can see, I mean, come on, how many times? I mean, ship after ship now they're going to hit the come on. I mean, you know, so I understand the frequencies also is a problem right now because we are in very, very high frequencies right now with the close to the eclipse on the April 8th. So I understand it affects mind, body, soul. I understand that. But still we need to calm ourselves down. I know we should not, and I know, for example, you said, sir, that you got emotional, for example. It's not good. It's not good to get emotional with anybody because we are all brothers and sisters. Yes, we may fight. I mean, why
okay.
You fight? I mean, instead of with love and passion and good words, we can talk with each other. Otherwise, if we say bad words, going to bad words, then, you know, if we lost it. If we lost it, then our nation will be lost. And I don't like that to happen.
And you're right. And I did bring Joe Gibson back on because he re-raised his hand. Joe Gibson, are you back on our show or are you still talking on the other show?
I'm back.
In here. Sorry to interrupt you, Brother Mark. You were talking on like some other show, and like, so I had to mute you because.
Oh, I thought I was muted. All
we
right.
were hearing you. Yeah, so that's
Lori,
why I muted you. You know me; I don't usually mute you.
No, we're fine. We're fine.
Lori, I got some research for you. Usually, when I call in, it's something somebody said. And I have to write it down because by the time I get on, I'm sitting there going, why did I call? So I write it down. And then I thought tonight And so I thought tonight, I wrote down my question when I called in and while I was waiting, I thought it was really funny, very graceful that someone started correcting the host talking over the caller. I thought that was funny, you know. But again, we knew that he was on another conversation because he didn't hear that. So that was funny. But I just wanted to get that point.
I know, and I was like trying to say, Joe Gibson. I don't mean to talk over you, but you sound far away. I don't know, you know. Like, you know, I didn't know I was talking over him
until the other guy started correcting you.
Yeah.
But the other guy started correcting you for talking over him, and I just thought that is so creative. But he didn't hear it because he really was, and you guys concluded he's on another show or another conversation. So, but anyway, go ahead and mute me again, and I'm going to keep listening.
Well, I will lose the ability to unmute you, but I'll mute you again. Just choose number one again if you want to chime in, Nathan.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
So I'm doing so now. But, yeah, Joe Gibson, that's what happened because I was, like, I was trying to talk to you because we didn't know, like, we couldn't understand, like, you sounded far away, and then you were talking, and it was like, are you actually talking and responding to what we're saying here? And then we finally concluded, like, you must be talking to somebody else on another show because it just wasn't timing right. So that's what happened. Anyway, so, yeah, let's, yeah, my show goes off the rails sometimes. Brother Mike, you have a lot of good points to say. And, yeah, I mean, I try not to interrupt people, but when I'm on other people's shows, you know, sometimes, like, even Donnie or Robert, you know, when I'm on their shows, they'll be like, Lori Ann's been quiet. She hasn't been saying anything. And it's just because I really don't want to interrupt and I'm just listening. But then when it's on my show as the host, I will interrupt people if I got something to say. And then I'll go back to my five-second brain thing because sometimes when somebody says something or is talking about something, then it's like it's in my head. And if enough time elapses, then I'll totally forget what I was going to say. And that's what Boyd was talking about, too, that sometimes he interrupts because, you know, whatever's in his head right now, you know, it's like say it now or I'll fucking forget in, you know, 30 seconds. So we all have to try to, I guess, take ownership of our own five-second brain and try to, like, remember what we were going to say. And what Cinnamon was talking about as well, that, you know, the topics of conversations can change so quickly, which if we need to revert back, if we talked about something a half hour ago and and it's finally time to chime in and you still have it on your mind, I have no problem with going back to a subject that we were talking about earlier. I'm just going to say that right now. Anyway, I'll shut up for, you know, a couple minutes anyway.
And Brother Mike, you got to understand, You usually call in a little bit late, you know, and you miss the rundown of things that we never talk about, right, Lorianne?
I actually didn't do that tonight, and I'm bringing Donnie on. I saw Donnie raise his hand. Hey, Donnie, but I didn't actually do that tonight. I didn't give a rundown of all of the, you know, things that have happened. Because I was lazy because it was my birthday yesterday and I stayed up late and I watched movies and I got drunk and I got stoned and I didn't do all the prep work that I normally do. So
yeah.
I didn't even make a Facebook post for this episode.
That's her modus operandi, and she'll spend 15 or 20 minutes talking about stories that it turns out we never talk about.
Mm. Well,
you know,
to say this to Brother Mike, as an example of what is going on tonight and how the topics change rapidly on this show and other shows, is it's been I tell you what, I cannot remember what the hell we were talking about once you chimed in, but all of a sudden our topic has gotten down to radio etiquette, you know, and how we got here. You know, you changed the subject there, Brother Mike, and it's a good subject, and it's one that we need to talk about.
Hey, you know why? Because we need to make the show better and better and better. And I am outsider. I can see how we can make it better. And Lorianne, for example, working hard, Robert's working hard, or Joel, my other brother is online too. He does that. I mean, he's 4, 5, 6 times a week. So we want to make the shows better for the listeners, for the participants, and we don't want to get emotional. As soon as we get emotional or use bad words, really, we lost everything, even if we want to say. You know, the other people say, what? Using bad words? I mean, bad words is for the, you know, for the gangs. for the people in, for example, the guy who called himself barbecue in Haiti. Okay, he can use that, but not us. We are a civilized country. We are a civilized people. We have to be an example for the world. BTR is not only United States. Other countries listening in, and we want to be an example for them too. You see, we all have maybe different opinions, maybe differences, but still we celebrate our diversity and differences. And they have a lot of commonality as well, too. We have never to forget that. And so, you know, they say, oh, these people are doing something right. So, you know, so they can learn from us. Go ahead, please.
With that said, when you're talking about cursing, when you're talking about swearing or cursing, I'm going to play a short clip right now because here's how I feel about cursing. All right, especially the F word. And when Ron Rex on, I wish he was on right now, he would definitely agree with me because Ron Rex and I are aligned in the fact that the F word is our favorite word. Here we go.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories, as a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And, as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot. Dismay, aw, fuck it. Trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now. Aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy. Difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question. Inquiry, who the fuck was that? Dissatisfaction, I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence, he's a fuck off. Dismissal, why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you!
How can you defeat that logic? I love that one. It's a classic.
I don't know. I can tell you firsthand experience right now from people that I've had call into the shows and everything that you lose listeners when the language is bad like that. You lose a lot of listeners. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I think it's like everything in moderation. You know, the overuse of something is always annoying, right? No matter how good it might be.
When you use it strategically,
you know, and in moderation, then it's not so bad. You know, if you can't speak a sentence without swearing, that's one thing. But the occasional emphasis is different.
But
Well, I mean, think about this, Lori Ann. South Park did a whole show, did a whole episode on this. You know?
I think that recording came before South Park did it.
Yeah. And that was probably the basis of the, that was probably the basis of the episode too.
Well, it was about curse words and stuff and bringing up a demon out of hell and all that stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I can see that. And one of my favorite clips, one of my favorite comedians is nothing but that, you know, is nothing but. And George Carlin, you know, fucking this.
Oh yeah, his
skit
on swear words is classic. I don't have that as a clip right now, but George Carlin's skit on using swear words is absolutely epic.
The seven words you can't say on TV.
Yes. Yeah. And then, of course,
it can be used as that. One thing that clip didn't say was it can be used as a term of endearment as well, not just the F word, but you can use it as a term of endearment. Like my best friend in Minnesota, we've been friends, you know, well, we've known each other since second grade, but we didn't become friends until sixth grade. We hated each other until then, but we've been best friends ever since. And you know how we usually greet each other when we call each other? Hey, you bitch, cunt, horse, lee, slut. That's how we greet each other. It's a term of endearment.
You go up to places like Boston, you know, and what do they say? They say fucking A.
And that's the equivalent to, hey, how you doing? Yeah. That's the versatility of it.
Yeah, I mean, our friend, well, he's not my friend. I mean, I know it, I still like him, but he doesn't talk to me much anymore. He doesn't talk to me. But that was one of Mike from New York's big things. When he agreed with something we said, he'd go, fucking A. You know? That's an agreement. That's a term of agreement. Up in that part of the country, that's a term. When you agree with somebody, that's what you say. Fucking A. You know?
Fucking A. Exactly. Yeah, so I mean, there's a time and a place for swear words, I guess. Like, I had no idea that the show would turn into, like, you know, when is swearing allowed and not allowed? And Joe Gibson, you do make a good point, and hopefully he's still here. But you do make a good point. A lot of people get turned off. I know my dad, you know, he's the one that I used to swear a lot. I mean, a lot. And it was so unconscious I was doing it. And it used to really annoy him because, he grew up, you know, with my grandparents, and they were more conservative, and they never swore. Very rarely did I ever hear my grandma or grandpa tell it swear. I think probably maybe I can count on one hand my whole life, you know, that they actually swore. And, you know, so my dad was really turned off by it. And he's like, you know, Lorianne, and he's tried to talk to me. And at first I tried to, like, you know, I got kind of defensive and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know. And then, you know, I started to actually listen to him and started to actually try to pay attention to how often I swear. And especially the overuse of it turns a lot of people off. So Joe Gibson does have a good point, you know, and I had to laugh because my dad sent me an email. It was he sent me an email with a picture of a meme, and it was about Biden, and he's like, you know, here's the latest shitstorm from Biden. And I replied back to my dad. I'm like, Dad, you said a naughty word. It's so rare for him to swear, you know. He's like, here's the latest shitstorm.
Well, people say it.
People say it when they get angry or they come out of character. So if they say it when you're, if you're saying it when you come out of character, obviously it's a negative implication on your character. So you're not, that's not who you really are. So you're stepping out of who you really are. So that's why it's odd and it's not right, you know, or it doesn't seem right to the conversation.
And there are certain words that over the years have become curse words, but originally weren't. For instance, the word bitch. Bitch originally, when bitch meant a female dog at one point. Right?
That's all it meant.
Still,
yeah. That's
still
all
does.
It meant.
And that's all
it
meant.
Like,
that was it mean. Now, bitch is another one of those words that can mean different things the way you use it, you know. Like, you could say, she just pitched the bitch fit, you know.
It's also different based on who uses it. If you're a man calling a woman a bitch, there's going to be a very different reaction than a woman that's friends with another woman and walking up, hey, bitch. You know, like the context, you know, is everything with if you're going to get pissed off about that or not or react.
You know where the word shit came from, don't you? Comes from what they used to write on bags of manure when they were transporting them on a ship. And it meant, it was initials. It was store high in transit, because if they were low on the ship and got wet, then they would spontaneously combust, you know, from decomposition and stuff. So it was store high in transit.
And then,
I did not
then,
know that.
And then
I learned something new.
And then it
Go
became
ahead, Mike.
In certain other places, that became it went from being shit to being shite. SHITE. Right? In
That's
fact,
a German.
Our friend,
That's...
Right. In fact, our friend, me and Boy's friend BZ used to use that all the time in his show. You know, he used to say all this shite all over the place, you know, talking about all the stuff that was going on and all that stuff. And then I used to refer, you know, the Shiites, the sect of Islam, the Shiites. I used to refer to them as shites, the shites.
Okay, that's fine with me because I hate them. I hate them, and I hate Ayatollah. I hate the many Iranian people today. I mean, just are Muslim by name. You know, only they know how to circumstance the sun. That's it, and nothing else they know. And the day that Iran gets freedom, 70-80% will change their religion to other religions. You know, especially Christianity, Zoroastrianism, and other religions. You know, because people are sick and tired. These people, put hijab into the people of Iran. Iran, 1979, looks like Portland. You know, looks like Los Angeles.
Portland is a crap hole. Brother Mike, I'm glad that you were talking, because there was an article that I saw that I was going to mention to you. I'm not sure if you saw it. An Egyptian man associated with the Islamic State was reportedly arrested in France while allegedly plotting an attack on Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Agents with France's General Directorate of Internal Security arrested the suspect, a man in his early 60s, on March 5th, per French media reports. He was indicted on the charge of criminal terrorist association and put in pretrial detention on March 8th. French outlet Le Journal de Dimanche, I guess, whatever, I know I butchered that, that allegedly planned violent acts against Christian buildings and was seen visiting Catholic community locations multiple times. We have never foiled so many attacks in France, French Interior Minister Gerald Darmanin told broadcaster France 2 last week. While Darmanin was not directly directly address the arrest of the Egyptian man, he said the Islamic State is the author of the last 8 foiled attacks in France. We foil a lot of attacks, one every 2 months. And the article goes on. I can put it in the chat room. What is going on? Why is France such a target? Like, you know, ISIS claimed responsibility for that mosque, that big Moscow attack that happened a couple weeks ago. And I didn't realize until reading through this article, like, why is France such a target? Why are there so many, you know, foiled attempts going on in France right now?
It's very clear, you know, because Islam has nothing to offer to mankind anymore. What you see Islam is barbarism and terrorism and, you know, whatever you see, that's what you see. I mean, that's why people of Iran especially, they're sick and tired of that. Iran was a great country and with great technology, but unfortunately, when they change over, taken place by the British imperialism, they ruined Iran, and shame on them, and Jimmy Carter too. Shame on Jimmy Carter as well too. And so basically, now the Ayatollahs today, I don't know if you saw the news, just you must see, go to Canadian Prepper in YouTube. You should see, oh my gosh, what the Ayatollahs has, hundred miles of underground city full of missiles, full of jets, aircraft, I mean, anything you can imagine. I mean, probably 10 times more than what North Korea has. And so you know, they were showing off what they have. I mean, they're preparing themselves, Ayatollahs, for World War III. And, you know, so in Iran, people just, as soon as the freedom comes, you will see what will happen in Iran. Iran, 80, 90% will be changed their religion, or they don't want to have any more religion either, because they were sick and tired to their stomach from Ayatollah's ruling, and Islam, Shiaism, is end of it. I mean, you know, that's what I can say. I mean, for example, did the Moscow terror, and they said also they are going to unleash around the globe as well too. So they are not also Muslim either. If they're Muslim,
when, Mike, hey Mike, since 1501, okay. Since 1501, the Shahs of the Safavid Empire began their reign.
Began their reign.
You know, that all the way up to the 18th century, and then after that, Russia and Britain took control of many parts of Persia in 1921. So when were you talking about they were a great independent empire? When was this? When? Back maybe when Cyprus was around, but when? I mean,
okay.
Technology.
Okay. Do you know who discovered alcohol, my friend?
No. Who?
Okay. Okay. Sheikh Mohammad Zakaria Razi. He was from Iran. He invented alcohol for medical use only. But unfortunately or unfortunately, you know, they use it for other matters. So, I mean, it's not the fault of him. So basically, you know, many inventions came from the Iran in ancient
really?
Persia. And of course,
really?
I mean, if you
I can kind of see that, but then you got to kind of figure, like, where did he get the idea from? Because wildlife all around him, like if there was apple trees around or strawberries or any kind of fruit-growing plants, probably notice that, hey, any creature that, you know, eats these fermented berries, you know, it smells rancid, but they're eating it. And so you got drunk squirrels and you got, you know, drunk, you know, whatever, you know, bears even seek out fermented berries and stuff to get drunk off of. So that's where I think the idea came from is, you know, he invented it, but what was his inspiration? It was probably Mother Nature. He's probably like, you know, what the hell is it that, you know, they're eating this and they're getting so, you know, weird, you know? Because drunk squirrels are funny, if you've ever seen any videos. So I could just imagine way back then seeing, like,
the only
drunk
time
squirrels and drunk rats and shit. And then, you know, this Iranian guy going, what's in this stuff that's making them act so weird, you know, and then discovered alcohol.
The only time that Iran was really something on the map was when three different types of people were ruling it, and that's when sixth century BC. Other than that, there'd been nothing but desert, you know. So that's it. I mean, I don't know what we're talking about.
Actually, Iranian beaches used to be really nice. I had a sociology teacher when I was in high school, I believe 11th grade. And she was an American citizen, but she lived in Iran for several years. Now, granted, when I was in junior high, we're talking the 1980s, and, you know, she showed pictures of all of these areas that, you know, that the area that she lived around, she showed all these pictures of different people. Like it was just the Iran that is depicted right now and what was even back in the 80s with my sociology teacher and stuff talking about it.
They were at
you
war.
Know, and
they
she
were at
was
war with Iraq.
So nice too. She was so nice. and you know, it showed a very different. She showed a very different perspective than what
of
we
course.
See here
of
in
course.
America. Like, you know, Iran is supposed to be so evil and everything like that. Well, guess what? You know, it didn't always used to be this way. Iran used to be a very different fucking place. And
absolutely.
You know, and guess
Hello?
What? Our American CIA and government is exactly what sucked it all up. They were behind fucking that whole country over. Along
that's
with
right.
Britain,
British.
Stuff like that.
And the reason. And
absolutely,
Lorian.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, in future, all Americans will travel to Iran one day and they will
oh,
see
yeah.
the culture, chug culture, food.
Oh, yeah.
And everything.
I'll keep my head, thanks.
And they will see. But, Joel, when I'm talking, please don't talk over me.
I don't
otherwise,
want my head chopped off.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say today. I say in future when everything is become good again.
When will that be, Mike? Okay, let's hope for that, Mike. Let's hope for that, okay? That's great.
Okay, so we are
But let's
okay.
hope China turns into a great country, too, one day. Let's
no,
hope for that. That's a good
no
thing,
Gibson.
Yeah.
You don't have to get confrontational.
I'm not getting
confrontational.
That is a mean country. They
it,
hate Americans in that country.
It
they hate
sure
Americans.
Like
if we're going to talk about our ass, that's fine. There's no reason to contribute then. I'm trying to talk truth here.
Joe,
when Trump got out of the Iran deal, and because he got out of the Iran deal, the Iranian economy started to go bad, right?
Good.
And it looked like the people were going to rise up because of the bad economy and do something about it. Then Biden comes in there, gets us back into the Iran deal, and all the money starts flowing again, and there you go. That short circuits the possibility of them possibly getting rid of the...
Do you know how many Americans, Mike? Do you know how many Americans have lost their lives over there? Do you know how many, what about the hostage crisis in 1979? So
okay,
it's not a peaceful, wonderful place.
It did not happen under the Shah.
Right. Brother Mike, by the way, there's a reason why the mullahs in Iran hate the Kurds.
Can I say something?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
When you have these type of people, especially the Muslims that come over here, and it may be okay for them to treat people in their country, you know, bashing them in the head, cutting their head off, cutting their hands off, really treating their women like third world whores, okay, and that's exactly what they do. Go look at the videos.
Yep.
Proof is in the pudding. Proof is in the pudding, okay? You can't argue with that. When they come over here, and they try to set up their same bullshit that they came from, okay? It ain't gonna fly over here, buddy. Guarantee
that's
you
right.
That. I'm one of these Texas rednecks. Okay, I'm one of these Texas rednecks. And if I see some Muslim, okay, disrespecting one of our women, okay, they're gonna be hell to pay, buddy. Gonna be hell to pay. Because you don't come over here in this country, all right? If you want to come over in this country, you learn the ways, you learn the language. I ain't pressing fucking one for English, pressing two for this and that. I'm an American. I was born and raised here. Now, if you want to come over and assimilate to this country and go by our rules and our culture and all this stuff, hey, great, whatever, okay? But you come over here and bring your bullshit. You go get a 50 gallon boot up your ass. And come down here to Texas, okay? Putting up that bullshit, okay?
Yeah.
And it's just like the Mexicans. They come over here and they want to reclaim the Texas and New Mexico and California. Hey, you lost it. We want it fair and square. Go fuck yourself, okay? It's just plain and simple.
That's right. We ain't giving nothing back. We are the world.
I mean, can I say something?
We come over here. Well,
there's just so much I can say to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is why I increased my arsenal on my gun belt to 60 rounds, because of these bastards that are coming over here, taking the job, taking the field, doing the crime. I mean, come on. You can read the FBI.
Back in the 80s, when I was in junior, when I was in high school, or junior high, and my sociology teacher, I'm saying it was a different world. He was showing pictures of going to the beach, and yes, there were women wearing two-piece swimsuits on the beach, and they weren't being gunned down, and they weren't being buried in fucking stone for doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if there was a time when that was not the case. And then guess what? Our government interfered. Our CIA, we want that oil. We want their resources. They're in cahoots with whatever. They're the next evil fucking place that doesn't want to have a central bank, right? And so here we go, and now here we are. And it's like, gee, no wonder why they fucking hate us. If we hadn't interfered with their shit to begin with,
maybe they wouldn't
fucking hate us so much. And that's exactly kind of what Ron Paul was saying. Interference in affairs of other countries around the world is what fuels this hatred. And there used to be a lot different. Things used to be very, very different.
Really?
Back in the day,
The Quran really was different back then, too? They reordered the Quran? Really? I didn't know that.
Not,
I mean, they've been Muslims over there since the beginning.
Not every Muslim is a fanatical Muslim. Not
every
Muslim, you know, it's like Christianity.
Thank you, Lorian.
You know?
Thank you, Lorian.
The Quran says,
Lorian,
you're to have your head cut off.
Are you going
to
be a fanatical and go, okay, we must repent. We must drink the fucking Kool-Aid because God is holding judgment upon us. And you convince a whole fucking room full of people to do it. You know, that's fanatical Christianism.
Yeah.
You know
yes.
what I mean? But that's nowhere near represents what real, you know, same thing with Muslims, though, is what I'm saying, is not every Muslim is this fanatical Muslim.
Exactly. Amen.
And they're not
amen.
Worthy of being hated. Not even
that's
Jesus
not true.
Hated, you know, people that differed from
not
him.
True.
He did not hate them. He loved them. He just tried to get them
it's
to
not
understand.
True, Lorianne. The Quran says, Lorianne, the Quran says you should be whipped with a stick just for talking back to me right now. That's what the Quran says. If I read that book and believed it, how could I, you know, come on.
Fucking crazy shit, too.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Those of you that know the Bible, you know, it says a lot of crazy shit, too, especially in the Old Testament.
No, that's the Old Testament.
They say in the Quran that if you don't convert to Muslim, okay, you're the infidel. Guess what? We're the infidel. We get killed. Go look it up.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, excuse me. Can I inject, please? Absolutely, Lorian is saying the right thing. You see, you guys have something in your system. You have to cleanse it up out of is your system, because you
don't
every Middle East or Bengali or Hindu or Singaporean or anybody, bad Muslim. No, we are in Christianity we have a good Christian, bad Christian.
So it goes in same.
I mean, 90% of first of all, we were talking about Iran. We were not talking about other Middle Eastern countries. Those are different. I mean, I am a specialist from Iran, and I know that in Iran, 90% people were like United States, the rest mini short. They can go to the sea anytime they want. Men, women, kids, all go to the Caspian Sea or Persian Gulf. But what happened after everything that Lorian said, absolutely truth, then, you know, everything was taken off from us. And they put us on the, hijab or a special Islamic dress and forced women to do that and et cetera. And today we can see how many times women try to, go into the streets. They say we are not going to put a hijab anymore or veil anymore. So, can't you see the Iranian, they want one time more to come back to international community and embarrass their brothers and sisters worldwide, but unfortunately, still up to today, Biden loves Ayatollahs, love Biden, and that's not
90%.
Go ahead.
90%, yep, and that's the thing.
Look,
90% believe in the Iman. 90% of Iranians believe in the 12 Iman system. That's Muslim,
They hate us. That's what you say. No, you are totally, completely wrong, my friend.
Are there segments where that is true, where that's what they preach? Of course, you know. But look at what's gone on with our own propaganda, teaching us. We have been taught, you know, look back at, fucking Die Hard. You know, we were taught to fear Muslim terrorists. We've been taught to
fear them
a long time. We were prepped. You know, like, oh, they're the enemy all the time and not the true culprits. You know, no way could it be our own government. So, you know, there are 3 billion plus Muslims in the world, and how many Christians, 2 billion, I don't fucking know. But nevertheless, the vast majority are not radical. And they don't
Absolutely.
Hate. They do want
the Quran.
Peace.
Amen.
And we're all, and guess what? You know what? Those people in Iran are just as pissed off at our U.S. government as we are at our U.S. government.
That different type of pissed off.
Because of their foreign policy and how they've fucked with everything. They have overthrown dictators. They've assassinated them. Our government has done everything under the sun
Amen.
That could be
They are not a peaceful
crime.
Nation.
We are. Our
They're
government
not,
is not innocent, right. And that is why, you know, we need to change this. We need to, like you say, restore the republic. Our founders
Absolutely.
Never would have subscribed to this worldwide dominance that our now United States of Empire has over the world.
Would never have
our
a Muslim on the as a senator.
Also, guys, I remember, I believe 20 some years ago, whatever it was, there was a story out there about a female college professor in Iran getting, an Iranian female college professor getting either stoned or beaten or something because she didn't want to wear the hijab or whatever it was at the time, you know.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
Mike. Okay, Mike.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question then. Okay. Let's talk about. Hang on.
Okay.
Let's look at Rashid Tlaib, the congresswoman. Let's look at her. What's her beliefs, huh? Yeah.
Okay.
She's a Muslim. She's an American Muslim.
She's not from Iran.
She's a radical.
I'm not arguing about what her beliefs are. I know what her beliefs and her and Omar.
Yeah.
Ilhan Omar.
Well, they're not
over
in Iran.
They're
not subject to the Ayatollahs. They're not subject to the Ayatollahs.
No, well, I think
these people
Omar
in the government, these people in the government, the one you just said, that, you know, the ragheads and all this shit, they are evil, they are demonic, they are anti-American, and they support terrorist organizations, for God's sakes. But yet they're in our government.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you figure that one? They support it. She even admitted she supports
yeah,
the terrorist
let's some
organization.
More over here. Yeah.
You know,
bring more.
These people should be kicked out of this country and never be able to return.
Yep.
Come on, people. Boy, wake up and smell the damn roses. It don't smell like roses anymore.
Yep. The sickness in our country. We're not a melting pot. We're not a melting pot. We're not supposed to be a melting pot.
You're right. Not a melting pot. Sorry. Whoever, they should take
Let's take a couple of breaths. That's what we were talking about earlier. You know, let's bring the temperature down a little bit. Brother Mike, a lot of what you said has caused some reactions, and what I've said caused some reactions too, but let's turn it down from boiling to simmering, and Brother Mike, respond.
I mean, we love United States of America. You're telling me that 90% of Iranians in United States are bad. So if you say so, so same thing could be true. 90% of Americans all are bad. If you say
Good,
that,
then get the hell out of our country then.
To you.
Then get
right.
the hell out
well,
then.
Then
that's
you
right.
our
you country.
Get the hell out of here then.
This is my country, then. You think 90% of us are bad, then get the hell out. You don't see me. I'm not over in Iran. If Iran said that, I'd be killed.
You're getting triggered. That's not what he was saying. That's not what he accused. He was doing an equivalence, a simple equivalence. You know, flipping it on the other side of the coin. So let's not overreact.
Just
making a point.
Here's the deal about Omar and Tlaib, you know, you support Hamas, which they do. You support Hamas. It's like it's them supporting the Muslims in Iran. That's what it is. Because where does Iran Well, where does Iran get their money? They get their money from us. But where, when Iran sends their money, where do they send it? Our money through through Iran goes to Hamas and Islamic Jihad and the rest of the
terrorists. Gunslinger was right, Mike. If they want to come over here and assimilate, fine. That's great. It's our country. Come over and enjoy what we have. Fine. But don't come over here with your crap.
Country.
You're not changing our country.
It's your country.
This is what they want to do. Yep.
This is what they want to change.
This is what they want to change.
I even have a comment to that.
If they want to do all this, like I said, we'll go. If they want to do all this crap in their country, stay in their country. Okay, don't bring your crap over here. Very simple.
Yeah. But you guys are accusing that everybody
We have no right to expect them to give up some of their culture. Do they have to assimilate to our laws as Americans, our laws and our way of life?
If they're
going to
stay in this
But they don't have to give up their own culture either. You know, there's literally a town in Minnesota called Scandia, right next to where I grew up. And it is a Scandinavian town.